One, two, three, four!
Turn your lights down, way down low. But turn up that radio. It's Steve and Johnny. Johnny and Steve. Every night there's something new. You never know just
This just in, if you're out and driving,
go ahead.
Turn on your damn lights.
Now you know where to go when you need a friend. Just tune that radio to WGN.
That's right.
That, of course, was a public service message from the Steve and Johnny Show Public Service Department.
How kind of you.
Yes.
I was just telling the story of the man that we encountered just steps away from the garage tonight. He was driving toward us, but he wanted to make a U-turn, and he cut it too short, so he ended up driving over the median.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing like that sound when you realize, oh, no, I'm on a curb.
Yep.
Or, but he gunned it. And so we just could hear the underside of his car. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot like a getaway car is what it seemed like.
Yeah.
By the way, Johnny and I were talking about this before before we went on.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, this has been, for many, many reasons, a horrible, horrible week.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is any news you need to know about, you will know about it right here.
Yep.
But we're also going to try and provide an atmosphere where you can relax a little bit. But again, if it were, anything happens,
yes,
you'll hear about it right here.
But selfishly, I kind of want to just chill out for a little while, if that's okay, and not think about really big things that are out there.
Like life.
Yes, right. Lock the doors. We're going to stay in here.
Okay. We got a lot going on tonight.
We do. Got a full show.
A very full show. In a little while, we're going to talk with Jennifer Moran. She is the president of the Chicago Automotive Trade Association and the general manager of the Chicago Auto Show. And guess what? We're going to talk about the Chicago Auto Show.
Mm-hmm.
Then our friend Monica Eng is going to join us, and she has an interesting restaurant tour she's doing.
She's going to all the restaurants that have something on their menu that they claim is the home of the best chili, the home of the best burger, the home of the best hoagie, and so she's going to try to eat all those dishes at all those restaurants that claim to have the home of whatever it is that's the best.
And she's also going to tell us a little bit about what she's heard about how some of the restaurants are preparing for possible ICE raids.
Yep, yep.
Then a little later, our buddy Wally Podrajic,
it's
a resident Beatleologist.
Yeah, Grammy weekend.
And the Beatles are nominated for two Grammys.
It's crazy.
So we're going to talk with Wally about that. Then a little later, our resident computer guru, Dr. Patrick Crispin, will join us. And we'll get into DeepSeek. And there's a chrome problem now,
mm-hmm.
and some things going on with the government that impact your lives and computers. And so we
and
have
hacking.
A whole
there's
yeah, and hacking.
There's always a hacking story or 12. It just always is.
So we have a ton of things planned for tonight.
Yes, we do. And it is Grammy week. Next week, of course, is Super Bowl week. And all of a sudden, I feel like, yay, we're into February. You know, the 50th day of January, yesterday,
by the way,
I was glad when it was over with.
So was I. Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
Yes. I was literally doing that at 2 o'clock this morning, posting my rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. Just anything for a little bit of good luck. I mean, come on, folks. Let's rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
And this is also the 11th anniversary of something that we'll share
yes.
on our Facebook page.
Yes.
11 years ago.
Was Snowmageddon.
Snowmageddon. Mm-hmm. And we have video and...
Or remember, we called it Snow My God.
Yeah.
Because it was so big. Bob Fukuda's in the room with us right now in the studio. Where were you 14 years ago in 2011 for Snowmageddon? Were you working?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Probably next door.
Oh, okay.
Because I was at 2 Illinois Center.
Oh. Because we'll put up a video of our trip to and from work that night.
Yeah.
And as I just told you off the air, as we were sharing the video with our producer, Julian, remember we had like 3 days worth of food packed, not just for
yeah.
us, for anybody that was stranded at the Tribune Tower, because once we get there, we don't know when we're coming home.
And we were just about the only car driving in that night.
Yeah. It's a very creepy video, because it's like I'm watching it going, why were we doing that? Why? Yeah, we got paid well, but that was stupid.
Ron, 2011, were you broadcasting then, or were you in Chicago then?
No, I was in between broadcasting jobs, but I was here in Chicago, and I remember shoveling out the car and driving on those streets, and it was just like 1967 all over again.
Yeah.
But not as bad. Just shy, I think, by an inch and a half.
Because 67 had, I believe, 23 inches.
That was the record.
Yeah.
I think we were like 21 and a half on Snowmageddon.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot more in 67 because I was 8 years old.
Yes, I know.
This is great. What's everybody complaining about?
I loved it, too, except I've told this story before. I was terrified because my mother took public transportation, and we waited and waited and waited, and Mom didn't come home. And my dad finally said, I think he was joking, and, you know, he was the teaser like that. He said, well, I don't think she's coming home. I think this is it. And I remember as a kid, I'm going, no, I was really liking this up until now. Because my next thought was, well, who's going to make dinner, Dad? You know, which is just bad.
You had your priorities.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, golly. Ron, real quick, you hosted a trivia night at a little place in Schiller Park the other night, right?
Yes, Shoeless Joe's Ale House and Grill.
Shoeless Joe's. It was a trivia night. And do they do that regularly?
Every Tuesday night. Yeah.
Do you do that every Tuesday night?
It's a lot of fun. I just enjoy it. And there's only fun people come out to play trivia, really.
Yeah.
And so we all enjoy it.
Well, good. So listeners, you can stop by and say hi to Ron on
there
Tuesday night at Shoeless Joe's. But there was a guy that walked up to you and said his name was Chris, and he asked you what?
Oh, he said, say hi to Steve and Johnny. I absolutely love them. Well, he said he wanted to make sure that you guys were still on. He hasn't been listening for a while, so I, you know, berated him for that. He said, you've got to listen. They're as good as they've ever been and maybe even better.
Oh,
it's like fine wine, I think is what I'd said.
Sweet.
And the check's in the mail, right?
Yes.
Thank you. And he was just happy to hear that. He said, oh, I love them. You know, they're that husband and wife team he referred
yes.
to you as. So.
So that was Chris. So, hey, Chris, we hope you tuned in tonight.
Yeah, hey, Chris.
And welcome back.
Yeah, Chicago, retired Chicago cop.
And we had actually met him at our producer Dan Shagrew's wedding. And that seems like a lifetime ago, because doesn't Dan have like four or five little girls?
I think so.
I mean, he's got
how many years ago was that?
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
It's got to be 18 years ago.
At least.
Yeah. And for people who got to know Dan Shagrew over the years, he was a wonderful producer, was with us for many, many years. He actually has three little girls, three beautiful redheads that are dancing fiends because they are, Mama is an Irish step dancer.
And a wonderful, in fact, yes. She did Irish step dancing at their wedding. It
the
was
whole
so
family,
cool.
Yeah, her whole family got out there and stepped in. It was amazing. Yes. Well, we're going to take a break. We got a lot coming up tonight. Stay with us, please. Full show tonight. Just a quick mention, next week is a super short show because, Bob, is it hockey next week? Or
yes.
It is hockey next week.
Oh, no. It's Northwestern basketball.
Basketball. Late game for Northwestern next week.
In Washington.
We're not positive, but we think we'll be getting on around midnight-ish next week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be here live. It won't be a best of. But tune in because we're going to have a very special guest.
Yes.
Tommy Castro, extraordinary blues musician who has a great new album, and he's going to be appearing at Space in Evanston in about a week and a half.
And isn't he the cover model, cover story in Vintage Guitar this month?
I'll have to double check.
That's him on the cover.
I think you're correct.
You're so, forgive me, I almost said weird.
Excuse me.
You're so funny when it comes to, I heard myself saying you're so weird about the catalog because you get real excited when you get the catalog.
Yeah.
But I also get catalogs that I go, oh, finally, I got a catalog in the mail. Because you just don't get them the way you used to. Remember, our mail person used to hand us a bundle that had like a band around it, would be all catalogs and magazines. Because there was a time when we were getting as many as 22 to 25 magazine subscriptions.
Yeah. And we still have a number of magazine subscriptions, but not quite as many as we used to.
Well, they're just not as many magazines as there used to be either, sadly. And if you decide to get them, you can get them for dirt cheap because they are able to sell advertisement based on the fact that they have subscribers.
In fact, magazines have gone one of two ways. You can either get them for dirt cheap because that way they can say, oh, we've got a gazillion subscribers, or some of the magazines, and I'm going to mention one, Fretboard Journal.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a guitar player, Fretboard Journal is a wonderful magazine.
Beautiful.
It's a high quality, costs a little more, very few ads, high quality, comes mailed with like cardboard so it doesn't get damaged. But it's
the quality of paper is beautiful, too. I mean, so the pictures really pop. I'm kind of fanatical about that. I've actually canceled magazine subscriptions when the paper got to be so cheap that I couldn't read the magazine in bed because it was so flimsy. It'd like fall on your face. And I'm like, no, I'm not paying for this. I need a better quality of paper. Get off my lawn. I'm not old and grumpy. Really?
Julian, do you subscribe to any magazine?
No.
Okay.
I'm not a magazine guy.
Do you subscribe to anything?
I subscribe to Spotify and Hulu. I do.
Oh, okay. We were talking about accessing Netflix. We have it available to us, but we have never signed on and never tried using Netflix. And it kind of scares me because I'm thinking we'll go down that dark path and never leave the house.
And we've got Amazon, and we just haven't used it. Oh, speaking of movies and things, we are now addicted to a wonderful new series. I say wonderful with qualifications.
Yes.
I don't know if it would be everybody's cup of tea.
True.
It's on Stars, and I can't pronounce his name. The guy that was in Outlander.
The hunk.
He's the lead in it, or the male lead in it. And it's called The Couple Next Door.
Which is funny because when I said to you, there's this new series that comes over here from Great Britain, was very popular in Great Britain. And yes, they have accents, but it's very easy to follow along. The scenery is gorgeous. And you said to me, The Couple Next Door, there used to be a radio show.
There was a radio show. A kind of a boring radio show called The Couple Next Door.
Yeah, this goes places where that radio show never even thought of going.
It's a six-part series
that
apparently has been renewed for a second season.
And it's been called a thriller. It's
It starts, you think it's going to go one direction because it has its erotic moments, but it also has some really interesting plot twists and great acting, great direction. Ron, have you seen it? It's on Stars.
No, but you had me at erotic moments. I think I'll check it out.
It's a polyamorous couple, so
yes.
And the neighborhood that they move into, this sweet little couple, she's a teacher and he's a reporter, and they move into this neighborhood. I said to you when the scene opens, I said, ooh, that looks like something right out of the Stepford Wives. And for anyone who's ever seen the Stepford Wives, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Every lawn is perfect, and every person that walks out of the house is perfect. And there was a lot of that vibe going on. And then you realize there's stuff going on behind closed
doors.
There's
so many twists and turns.
Yes.
And what's it called again?
It's called The Couple Next Door.
The Couple Next Door.
It's on Stars. And this week, the third episode came out. But you can do a search, and you can find the first two, and it's worth doing.
Okay, I will do that.
And I think they have... since Outlander is wrapping up, or they have wrapped up, the very final season of the hundreds of years that show has covered, they have signed on for a second season for A Couple Next Door.
But now, isn't there going to be like an Outlander prequel?
A prequel,
that's in the works now?
And now, you know, people are anxiously waiting to find out, well, who from the Outlander series are going to be in the prequel, and how are they going to make them look younger? And yeah.
Since we're talking TV.
Mm-hmm.
One of our other favorite series is coming back next week on the CW.
Yes.
Wild Cards.
Yes. Oh, I thought you were going to mention Tracker, because that's coming back too.
Well, that's on CBS.
CBS, yes.
And I think, is Tracker new Sunday night?
Well, it's coming back in February, and we're officially, thank goodness.
No, probably not Sunday night, because the Grammys are Sunday night.
That's right, yes. And then the next week, where's this Super Bowl being broadcast?
Super Bowl, is that Fox or CBS?
Well, the whole world will be talking about it. So anyway.
It's in New Orleans, that's all I know.
Yes. So.
New Orleans.
I'm laughing because we're going to talk to Gabe a little bit later. Sports Between the Sheets, a little feature that we do with him, so we get him to take off his news hat and put on his sports hat.
And get between the sheets.
Yeah, yes. And we were talking. I said, you need to explain to us during the show tonight why everybody thinks that the Chiefs are cheating.
Yeah.
And he went, I said, no, save it for the show.
Yep.
Tell me later.
Yep.
So we'll get to that, too. We're going to take a break right now, so stay with us here on WGN.
Real hard. I got a brand new car. And I'm feeling good so far.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I got a brand new car. I like to drive real far. Feeling good so far. Going to check out the Chicago Auto Show.
And dream about a brand new car.
Yeah.
A lot of that's going on. Next week, next Saturday, the Chicago Auto Show opens up. It will be the 117th Chicago Auto Show at McCormick Place. That's pretty impressive. Joining us right now is Jennifer Moran. She is president of CATA, which is the Chicago Automobile Trade Association, and general manager over at the Chicago Auto Show. Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for having me.
Are you like a kid in a candy store?
Yes. So we are almost there. The move-in has begun. The show floor is building up as we speak, and it's very exciting. We cannot wait to open the doors to our 117th edition of the Chicago Auto Show.
So how many vehicles are you going to be placing at McCormick Place?
So we're nearly 1,000 vehicles.
Whoa!
We have more manufacturers than ever before. We're welcoming at least 4 to 5 new brands over the previous year, which is very, very exciting.
Give us an idea of some of those new brands.
Sure. So, you know, with the EV revolution coming, you'll probably see a lot of EVs on the show floor, hybrids, plug-in hybrids. So just to name a few. So Polestar, Rivian, Lucid is back again this year. Many other EV brands are back in the show this year, but it's going to be a little bit different. We have two EV tracks, you know, given the nature of the EV revolution. We have at least 12 brands total on the EV track indoors, as well as, you know, of course, we have, you know, internal combustion engine vehicles as well. But you're going to see the difference because of the EV revolution, but it's going to be wonderful. It's a little bit bigger than last year as well.
And I hear that Stellantis is back at the Chicago Auto Show this year?
That's right. So Camp Jeep, many people know. So Stellantis has many different brands, but Camp Jeep is a fan favorite, is back indoors at the Chicago Auto Show. They also have their outdoor test drive. So Ram, Jeep, Dodge. So Dodge even has EVs outdoors as well for people to actually get behind the wheel and test drive. So many opportunities for people to really experience the vehicles, both indoors and outdoors.
Were you like me as a kid? Because every year when the Chicago Auto Show was around, I couldn't wait to get down there. It was just one of my all-time favorite things. And as an adult, that carried through. In fact, very quick story. Years ago, I was going to get a hamburger, slipped, fell on the ice. Okay, I'm in a hurry because I'm going to the auto show. Go to the auto show and load up with brochures and brochures and brochures. And as I'm carrying all the brochures back to the car, all of a sudden my arm starts to feel a little funny. Long story short, I wound up in the emergency room. I had broken my elbow and didn't realize it because I was concerned with going to the auto show.
Yes. Oh, I'd love to hear that story. You know what? Yes. I grew up going to the auto show with my father. So it's a full, like, you know, moment that, you know, my grandfather, my father and I would go to the auto show. I remember the bags and you collect all the paperwork. You know, now everything's digital, right? So it's a little bit different, but it's still a tradition for so many people in Chicago. They love going to the show, and it's the best place because you can see so many different brands all under one roof. You can test drive the vehicles outdoors, experience them indoors. But the best part is that the product specialists are so knowledgeable with the vehicles, and they can really shed light on everything that people need to know. And it's a one-stop shop. That's what we always say. So it's very exciting.
Well, a listener was asking a couple of weeks ago when we mentioned that the auto show was coming up, can you actually talk to people about a vehicle that you would like to purchase after the auto show? Is there any connection that you can make with, okay, I'll see you next Monday after the show is over with, and we'll talk about me purchasing XYZ vehicle?
Absolutely, Johnny. Yes, there is all the opportunities to do that. So you can basically talk to any product specialist, give the information, and then kind of follow up after the auto show. You know, we don't necessarily do just deals in the auto show. You can, like, you know, buy the vehicle on the auto show. But the best part is that there's incentives are coming back now, which is, you know, we're seeing this now with the industry. You know, prices are coming down slightly. Incentives are coming back. So the good news is that you can follow up after the auto show to follow up the dealer and go into the showroom to make the vehicle purchase or lease.
Tell us a little bit about some of the interactive exhibits, because it blows me away what you're able to do under the roof of the McCormick Place. You know, get in a Jeep and then go off-roading, for example. I remember that a couple of years ago. Give us an example of one or two of those exhibits.
Yes, absolutely. So I mentioned just previously, we have Camp Jeep back at the auto show. They're celebrating their 20th anniversary, which is so fun. And then we have the Ford Bronco indoor test track. So the same thing, you know, people can put the test to Ford Bronco and Camp Jeep. A lot of times they think they're rivals, so we'll see what comes out in the end. And then of course, you know, we have Subaru. They have an amazing wilderness exhibit. They actually bring in real trees and shrubbery. They actually donate all of that after the show back to the forest preserve. But they have puppies as well for adoption.
Oh.
So, you know, they actually sell the most puppies at the show for adoption than any other auto show actually in the country, which is amazing, which is so fun. You know, it just brings the family atmosphere to the auto show. But there's so many interactive exhibits. One I'll note, so it's one of our own. We're implementing our own family zone this year. So we have a whole test track geared towards kids where they can actually drive power wheels around the show floor.
Oh.
So very different from years past. So, you know, of course, parents can, you know, you know, take on the Bronco and the Camp Jeep, but this is very different. It's just dedicated to kids, so it's their own little Power Wheels track. So a lot of fun, lots of engagement for everybody this year.
That is a fun idea because it is a family event. We should mention that. And my memories of the auto show was as a teenager, you know, you think about going to the prom, and in my world, growing up on the north side of Chicago, was who's going to ask you to go to the auto show? What guy wants you to be his date for the auto show? You know?
Yeah. I love that. You know, and we have our first for charity, a black tie event, a gala that's held actually next Friday, February 7th. And that is a wonderful event that is a sneak peek at the Chicago Auto Show. And we actually call that the auto show prom. So
yes,
here, Johnny. So, you know, who's going to ask you to the prom, right? So we do that. And it's a wonderful event. We raise at least $2.5 to $3 million annually for local charities.
Wow.
And since the inception, we've raised $63 million for wonderful organizations that benefit those right in our backyard.
Now, for someone who might want to go to First Look, is it too late, or can they still get tickets? And how do they do that?
No, it's not too late at all. So they can go to firstlookforcharity.org or our ChicagoAutoShow.com website. You can find the link and purchase your ticket. You can dedicate all of the proceeds to one charity of your choice. There's 18 from which to choose. Or you can just click the box and it'll be split evenly if you don't have a certain preference. But not too late. It's next Friday, 7 to 11 p.m. at McCormick Place. It's a black tie gala, so, you know, gowns and, of course, you know, tuxedos. It's a wonderful event. There's not many like that in the town. And it's one that raises so much money and goodwill for those right in our backyard. So it's a wonderful event and a great way to see the Chicago Auto Show before it opens to the public.
And the ticket at $325 allows you to take a tax deduction of $268. That's the portion that's tax deductible.
That's right.
And you do get, you know, when you're walking around looking like $1 million, you do get some food to tide you over and beverages. Right, Jennifer?
That's right. So we actually cater in food from a variety of different restaurants, ranging from sushi to steak, a wide variety, different cuisines, vegan. We also have cocktails, beverages, non-alcoholic drinks for those who don't want to have alcohol. And then we have also, you know, classic Chicago pizza, right? So it really runs the gamut. Wonderful event. Like you said, you dress up in a black tie, you know, event, and just a wonderful way to see the show floor. We also have two vehicle giveaways, a 2025 Chevrolet Equinox EV, the first time we've ever given away an EV at the auto show, and then also a 2025 Palisade, so Hyundai Palisade. So wonderful time. Just because you purchase your tickets to the auto show, like you mentioned, Johnny, that, you know, tax deductible, you also get to be entered to win one of those two vehicles, which we'll be giving away at 8:30 p.m. at the event.
We're talking about new cars, the Chicago Auto Show, with Jennifer Moran. She's the general manager of the Chicago Auto Show. And Jennifer, now here is the, all of the previous questions have been easy. Here's the key question. Do you have Mackinac fudge?
You know what? It's so sad to say that, you know, that tradition has been failed. They don't have the fudge at the auto show anymore.
No.
I hate to break it. I know.
I'm crushed.
Well, see,
I know.
The beauty of it was as you're walking and you're putting in your steps, you're thinking, yeah, I can have another piece of fudge.
Yeah.
It's cool. I'm walking, you know.
But there is auto show pizza. I will give you that.
Yes.
There's auto show pizza.
Listeners, Patty and Paul texted in to say that they're looking forward to seeing the Grenadier, the INEOS Grenadier at the auto show.
You know that brand is not there at the auto show. INEOS, unfortunately, it's not there. But like I said, there's multiple brands: so Polestar, VinFast. Like I said, Lucid earlier. So, you know, the EVs are coming fast and furious. It just depends on their, you know, their take in the market, that, you know, where they want to exhibit. So unfortunately, that particular brand is not there. But many brands that people probably haven't even heard of are going to be at the show before this year.
A Chicagoan asks, does the auto show have anything adaptive for people who need things for disabilities?
That's something that we will definitely consider. If you can just send us an email, just go to chicagoauto.com, contact us. We will absolutely help, you know, to accommodate as needed.
Okay. Also, and this is a key question, the auto show holds various press conferences because you have your press days leading up to it opening to the public. And a couple of listeners say, and I think it's a good question, is anyone going to be talking about the way tariffs may very well be affecting car sales moving into this year?
Yes, it's a very good question. So obviously it's very new, you know, with this coming out just yesterday, but you know, we're kind of monitoring the situation. I think that, you know, typically most people won't feel the burden necessarily at the consumer level in terms of, you know, dollars. But the money is going to come from the manufacturers who actually make the vehicles. Mm-hmm. It won't come from the dealers. It won't come from the consumers. But again, with it being so new, we're just monitoring the situation and we're going to kind of monitor it. But I would say that, you know, don't let it deter you from, you know, making the purchase and talking to the dealership and finding out what's right for you. In just vehicles that were on sale previous to today, February 1st, won't be subject to that, mm-hmm. the tariff. So again, so people who are looking at vehicles prior to today's date, again, won't be subject to that, the tariff. And again, it's probably incremental, but still more to come on that.
The Chicago Auto Show is still the largest auto show in the country, isn't it?
It is. It's actually the longest running as well. It's a wonderful tradition to so many in Chicago. We were talking earlier about people just growing up, and, you know, it's a great February tradition and just a wonderful show. And so we're very excited to see the new brands we're welcoming this year, as well as all the existing brands that have participated for many years.
You mentioned EVs a couple of times, and Deanna wants to know if there will be more hybrids. Yes, you mentioned EVs, but what about hybrids? Are they represented at the auto show?
Absolutely. So hybrids, plug-in hybrids, EVs. So there's a variety of vehicles from which to choose. The best part is that people can come to the auto show and actually get educated from the product specialist mm-hmm. To what's right for them, right? So whether they have, you know, a charging unit in their home or in their, you know, apartment or condo complex where they dwell, there's a variety of options for them. So we do have, you know, product specialists who will talk to the different options. You know, Toyota has been a big believer in hybrids for many, many years, which is kind of a way to just ease into that electrification. Oftentimes, infrastructure is not quite there in many cases, so it might be a great way to kind of ease into a plug-in hybrid and a hybrid, you know, as you're kind of bridging the gap to a full EV.
You've been involved with this for quite some time. Have you been as amazed as we have with the amount of change that has taken place in the automotive industry just over the past 10 years? It seems like somebody hit the fast forward button, and the technology and the amount of computers that are involved in a car has just gone through the roof these days.
Absolutely. And it's unbelievable when you actually get to, you know, sit in the vehicles and learn about all the technology and the advancements that have come. You know, people who have vehicles that are even dated 3 to 4 to 5 years down the road, you know, would be amazed to see the technology that's in vehicles today and in the future. So again, a great opportunity to come to the auto show, learn about the greatest technology, you know, the greater, you know, features and benefits of all the vehicles. It's amazing to see.
Okay, personal question. Technology. What was the piece of technology that when you first heard about it, you said, they're going to do what?
I love that question. So for me, it was the Apple CarPlay integration. You know, people that had their, you know, the Apple iPhone, right? So the mm-hmm. integration to the vehicle, and then you had the Android, you know, Android Auto and all that. And so now it's just, you just plug it in, and now it's wireless, right? So I think of that often. It was like, wow, that was the most mind-boggling thing to me, that you can actually plug in your iPhone into the vehicle and you can get, you know, maps and music and so forth. And now it's just amazing. Now the vehicle basically tells you where you need to go. Like, they know, you know, you need to go to home, and you not, here's a map to go to work. Or, you know, it's incredible, the technology that's in vehicles today.
Will there be any self-driving vehicles that people will be able to test?
So not to test, and that's still kind of a long, you know, thing in the tooth. So you know, infrastructure has to be there, you know, and that's the biggest thing. We're seeing that with EVs, which we just talked about, you know, charging, you know, infrastructure and that and so forth. So, you know, the self-driving vehicles, again, that has to, the vehicle has to talk to the road and so forth. And that is a little bit, the technology is there, but it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of liabilities, as you can imagine. So it's not there quite yet. Probably soon, you know, mm-hmm. don't know, you know, timeline, but very exciting to see the technology into the vehicles and to see what's to come.
All right. This is all happening at McCormick Place. There's parking on site. And if you want to go to First Look for Charity, that's this coming Friday night. And then Saturday, the doors open. And buckle up, Jennifer. You know there will be a snowstorm. There's always a snowstorm during the auto show.
Right around Valentine's Day.
It never stops people from going to the auto show. It's just amazing the crowds that will turn out. And also President's Day. That'll be the last day of the auto show, right?
Yes, no, that's right. And we're hoping for no snow, but you never know with the February temperature.
It's a tradition.
Yeah, so it is a tradition. But so Friday, you mentioned the Valentine's Day. We actually have a craft beer tasting event. I'm not sure if you're aware. So anyone who's coming out with a Valentine or just a group of friends, it's a great time to come out to see the auto show. You can sample beers from a dozen local breweries. Just a great night. And then also the kickoff weekend, Super Bowl Sunday, which is this coming Sunday, there's a run, and we're doing a miles per hour run in the show. So lots of opportunities, different activations, not just cars, but if you're into running or if you're into, you know, sampling some beer, there's everything for anybody to come to the auto show.
And tickets are what for adults and seniors and kids?
Yeah, so tickets, they're discounted for children. They're $7. They're $15 for adults. And then infants get in, three and younger get in for free.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your time. I like to think that we made you sit down for a few minutes to catch your breath, because this is an incredibly busy time for you getting ready for the auto show.
No, I'm so happy to join you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Have fun. Bye-bye now.
That to this day, that is still one of my all-time favorite things. And our thanks to Jennifer Moran. She is the general manager of the Chicago Auto Show. And make sure you wear comfortable shoes.
Yes, 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 yes. Julian's going to be there with a badge, right, Julian?
Yeah, I'll be there with the badge. I still haven't decided, either Thursday or Friday. I actually brought it with me. I can show you what it looks like. But
so you're going to be there press days.
Yes, yes.
Right.
And then I'll probably go normal day. I'll bring a friend or go with one of my brothers.
Mm-hmm. Well, Valentine's Day, that's another one. That was a mm-hmm. big deal when I was in high school, if you got invited to go to the auto show on Valentine's Day. But back then, the difference was you had these fabulous-looking models that stood next to the cars. So you had to be worried about what you wore to the auto show with your date, because you were competing with some first-class yeah. models that were standing yeah. there. Now you have more, a cross-section male and female, yeah. more office, a lot less of the evening gown look that we used to have at the auto show, which, you know, I enjoyed it. I worked the auto show for many years, and that was part of the fun, was getting all dressed up for it.
Yeah, so, in fact, we still have some pictures. We should post some of the pictures from some of the auto shows that we were at, because we had some fun times.
And I guess you would be going through withdrawal, because you always look for the brochures.
Yeah.
We were talking last week about the fact some of those brochures are actually collectible. I mean, you could sell like a single brochure for $20-$25 on eBay.
Oh, yeah.
Because if people have that car, they want that brochure that went with their car. And she said that's all now online, but...
And I still have a collection of
you sure
automotive
do.
Brochures.
I think you still have them in the original plastic bag that they would give you to walk around with.
See if I can find you one for 2025.
Oh,
cool.
Thanks. Thanks.
Okay, we got a lot coming up. We're going to talk with Monica Ng.
From Axios, coming up.
Till you clean off your plate, so eat it. Don't you tell me you're full, just eat it. Eat it. Some more chicken, have some more pie. It doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried. Just eat it. Just eat it. Just eat it. Just eat it.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yeah, we're going to be talking about food, boys and girls.
It's a little early to be going there, you know. By the time midnight rolls around, we're going to be...
Oh, we're going to be so hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what are we having when we get home tonight, Dave?
I don't know, but all we've got are a couple crackers while we're here in studio. Okay. So that's going to get ugly about midnight.
We are now joined by our friend Monica Ng, who is an award-winning veteran Chicago reporter. You can read her on Axios. And you should also get your hands on a wonderful book, Made in Chicago, Stories Behind 30 Great Hometown Bites.
Yes. Monica Ng, how are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. We want to talk to you about so many things. As I say, every time you're on the show with us, girl, you got a great gig because...
You come up with the best cams.
You work really hard, but you have fun doing it. What's this latest thing about the Home of Eating tour that you've got going on?
Well, for years, you know, I've gone past, you know, a zillion restaurants with a sign outside that say home of the hoagie, home of the Chopek, home of the Singer, home of the cheese crisp. And I thought, oh, it'd be fun to go check that out sometime, but I never did. This year, I'm giving myself an excuse to stop at every single one of them because I'm going to do a series where readers write into me and say, oh, I saw this home of the killer margarita, you know, got to go and try it. And I've already tried two, and I've got a bunch more on my list.
That's fun. Now, I'm looking at the Slinger. That's something that you ate at a place called the Diner Grill?
Yeah, it's in North Center around Ashland and Irving Park. And I didn't, you know, I'd passed by that sign a million times, and I did not know what a Slinger was. A lot of people eat it at 4 a.m. I imagine they have a little something else called alcohol in their belly at the time. But it has a lot of breakfast foods on it. So you make a mess of hash browns, like probably like five servings of hash browns.
Yes.
Put that on a huge platter.
All right.
And then grilled onions, and then two over easy eggs, and then three big ladles of chili.
Oh.
And if you eat the whole thing, you get a certificate on the wall.
What? Do you know why it's called the Slinger? Did they explain that?
I guess because people are slinging hash at these diners.
Oh,
and,
of course.
I found out, actually, it's got St. Louis origins. And so a lot of people eat it in St. Louis.
Because in St. Louis, don't they have spaghetti with their chili?
Oh, I think that might be Cincinnati.
Oh, no.
That's
right. You're right. That's an Ohio thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we have a friend that actually drove from Chicago to Ohio to get this Ohio chili.
Yeah, Skyline chili with a little cinnamon in it.
Really? Now, you mentioned the home of, you mentioned a couple of words I don't think I've ever heard. Well, cheese crisp, I can kind of figure that out, but there's a restaurant that claims to have the home of the cheese crisp?
Yeah, there's a restaurant in Lincoln Park at around Webster and Racine called Old Pueblo. And I've been going past this neon sign 4 years again where it says home of the cheese crisp. And I'm like, okay, one of these days I'm going to try it. So I did, and it's like a big flour tortilla, and then they put cheese on it, but then all sorts of other things, like they can do pickled vegetables, like pickled onions, or they do a short rib on it, or just jalapenos and cheese. It's like a big pizza. It's like a really thin big pizza, and everybody in the place is ordering it.
Really? Because cheese crisp just doesn't do it justice. When you talk about something that you could actually put, you know, pickled onions or short ribs on, that's so much more than what I thought would be like a little snack thing.
Right. I thought it might just be Lacy cheese that crisps up on a grill. But it's kind of like a very thin pizza. And what I found out is actually it's very popular in Arizona, but this is the only place in Chicago that you can get it.
The cheese crisp. Well, that reminds me of, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I actually had people writing to me saying, now tell me again how to make your grilled cheese. I put the cheese on the outside of the bread when I make a grilled cheese.
Tastes really good.
So you
that sounds like a cheese crisp right there.
I know. So you put your grated cheddar cheese in the skillet, and you don't need any butter because it makes its own oil. And as it starts to melt, then you slap your piece of bread. So now you can eat a grilled cheese sandwich with just one piece of bread, but a whole bunch of cheese.
Yeah. So good. It doesn't stick. It doesn't stick to the pan?
No. Because you can lift it right off, and then you put more cheese in your hot pan and flip it over on the naked side of the bread, get that side going. Then you cut it in little bite-sized pieces and float it on top of your tomato soup.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
It's so good. And it looks fancy, too.
I'm getting so hungry right now.
Oh, I got to try that.
So what was the other thing? You're rattling off the home of...
Right. So there's like the home of the hoagie on 111th. They have actually two specialties. Well, a hoagie, which is like a submarine sandwich, but they have something called sweet steak. And I think we might have talked about it when Dave and I were on your show talking about Chicago favorites. And they've got something called the Steak Supreme, which is you take ribeye steak, chop it up, griddle it, and then put some onions on there and griddle them too, and then steam a hoagie roll, kind of like the way you'd steam a hot dog roll.
Yeah.
And put that on top of it and flip it over, then put two things of American cheese, and then this really bright green relish with jardinera, and then tomatoes, and then you soak the whole thing in mild sauce, which is like ketchup with hot sauce.
What?
Yeah.
And you eat it with a fork. You eat the fork and knife, right?
Well, you try, but they don't give you a fork and knife.
Oh,
so you
really?
Have to bring it home. But David waited 90 minutes for his. I made it an hour. So from the time you order to the time you get it, you're just sitting in a room with a lot of people. Nobody's getting upset. They're waiting an hour or more for their sandwich because they love it so much.
And again, where is it?
Waiting an hour? It has to be a fantastic sandwich.
Yeah.
It is super heavy. And we were going to do, at Axios, we're going to do heaviest sandwich, biggest sandwich. That's got to win. You feel like you're carrying a warm baby in your arms as you're carrying it out. But it's called the Sweet Steak or the Steak Supreme, and it's at Home of the Hoagie. It used to be served at these restaurants called Taurus Flavors. There were 13 of these Taurus Flavors restaurants on the South Side in the mid part of the 20th century. And then it got down to one a few years ago, and then it had a car crash through it. And I talked to the kids, and they said they were going to really try to reopen. But they haven't yet. So this is one of the last places. This was a friend of the father, the kids who were trying to open up Taurus again. Their father had a friend who opened up Home of the Hoagie about 40 years ago, and his daughter is running it now in Morgan Park.
And this Taurus was a chain of 13?
Yeah, I was reading. I went through to do research for the book. I went through old ads in the Defender, and it was Taurus Flavors, and then they had the addresses of all 13 places, and they had this slogan said, it's called a meal and a treat that's all full of meat. Because it was really full of meat.
Yeah. Golly. And I'm looking at Steve because born and raised on the South Side. I'm thinking, you've never heard of this?
No, I never heard of this.
No.
Yeah. Morgan Park, and then a lot of them were like in Avalon Park.
Oh.
It's really a very fascinating story of African-American entrepreneurship. A lot of the guys he'd served with in World War II, he went into partnership with.
What years was this?
I believe it started in the, I want to say, 50s and then went all the way through 2019.
Wow.
Because I grew up in the South Side. I was there from the from 1943 to almost 1970, and I'd never heard of this.
Interesting.
Isn't it funny you grow up in a place and you're like, what? But then you experience that all the time. As you say, you walk by these places and suddenly you go, wait a minute, I got to go
eat
there.
Yeah, I've never tried that.
Yeah.
And then have you guys ever been on Ashland near Armitage where it says Home of the Chopac at Chubbers?
But I don't know what it is.
Me either. I think it's some kind of cheeseburger with a certain sauce, but now is my excuse to go in and find out what these homes of these places are.
This is such a good idea because you know that a lot of soul searching goes into putting up that sign saying we are the home of filling the blanks.
Yeah.
Like, can we really do this? Are we the, because it's saying that you're the best.
Yeah, or you're maybe, staking your claim and saying, try this thing. It's going to be good.
Or you might be the only game in town. You don't know. We're talking with Monica Eng. Monica, sit tight. We're going to take a quick break. Monica is the co-author of a wonderful book, Made in Chicago. she and David Hammond spent just a great deal of time putting together the. If you have anybody that's coming to Chicago for a visit, you really need to get them this book because they could eat their way through town because it's stories behind the 30 great hometown bites. But now she's off on this home of tour, and we'll find out how you can tell her about a place that is bragging about it's the home of whatever the food is, and we'll send her there to eat that particular food. So stay with us here on WGN.
I was sitting, waiting for the train thing at the airport. Had a long flight home, and I'm hungry, wanting something yummy. But all I can see is a dude with some kind of sandwich in his sandwich. I wish I could ask him for a bit, cause who would it hurt? And then I'd occupy a part of his brain forever. Okay, whatever. It's now or never. So I asked him for a bite and he looked confused, but then he held it out, didn't know what else to do. And so I took a bite and then we took a photo together, yeah. So I asked him for a bite and he looked confused, but then he held it out, didn't know what else to do. And so I took a bite and then we took a photo together, yeah.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I know nothing about this person. This is Sarah Maddock, and it's called Can I Have a Bite, the sandwich song.
The video's adorable.
It's wonderful, and she is a real talent. I've now subscribed to her YouTube page, and we may try to get her on. She does really fun stuff.
She's a good musician. She's a decent singer. She got a great sense of humor, but this video with her walking up to this guy and asking for a bite of his sandwich in the airport, and then they take a picture together. It's really good. Well, we're talking about food. Monica Eng is with us, Axios Report. Order an author. Monica, a listener says, now you got me wanting Frico, F-R-I-C-O. I don't know Frico. Do you know Frico?
Huh. Is that in Chicago? Because now I got to try it.
I know. I'm going to tell the 312.
Oh, I think I know. Frico is cheese. Like if you take a bunch of Parmesan cheese that's shredded and put it on a pan with some butter and it becomes sort of like that crispy round, like a cheese crisp.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that. Put that on a salad, a Caesar salad or something.
Listen to us. We're
is it just me or is there a serious cheese Jones running through this conversation?
Yeah, crispy cheese.
Crispy cheese, yes. And that was a 312 listener, so he probably knows where we can get Frico. So fill in the blanks for us, please. 773 area code says, my mother's sister and I went to a Taurus on 79th Street near Leo High School. I had a cheesesteak and a hoagie sandwich on a school trip to the Indiana Dunes my freshman year at Luther South High, 1979. How funny that this memory is so specific from 1979.
Wow. So she was at a Taurus Flavors.
Yes.
Nice.
And she says, my mother and I had a Taurus steak sandwich in 2018.
Yep. Yeah,
I guess
shortly before they closed.
Once you have it, see, you lock it in your mind. It was 79 and then followed it again in 2018.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, listeners want to know, are you going to venture out to the suburbs or strictly stay in Chicago?
I am definitely going to the suburbs. We want to do more suburban coverage. So tell me, please write to me at monica.eng@axios.com with any home ofs you see anywhere in the Chicago area. I will be there.
What is the most unusual home of you've come across?
Well, I mean, definitely that steak sandwich, but
wait, I will never forget. It's like holding a warm baby.
Yeah.
That's right. Really, if you go, when you're carrying that out, because there's really no place to eat it there, you do have to carry it out.
With both hands.
And it's hot and heavy in that bag. And you feel like you've just gestated it for 9 months, waiting 90 minutes.
90 minutes, yes.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to there's Caesar's, home of the killer margarita. There's another place, home of the jumbo Rita. There's a Latino place in Logan Square that says it's the home of the chivo y mangú. And I think that's got to be goat with chopped up plantains turned into a paste, because that's what mangú is in Dominican food. So I'm looking forward to that. I tried the home of the Coquito Latte, which is a latte with like a sweet coconut milk with cinnamon in it.
Nice.
But I'm still waiting for that most unusual one, and I'm really hoping that the readers can help me out.
All right. A listener wants to know if you have anything that's the home of sweets. Fill in some kind of sweet desserty thing. Because we got to have some place that says, wasn't it Drexel's Bakery that used to be the home of the fresh strawberry whipped cream cake?
Yes, you know? That was a famous one.
Yeah.
And on the south side, the Atomic Cake.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
And wasn't that like a recipe that, I mean, it was so protected. And then,
well, the Drexel's one, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And then I think the chief baker left there, and then they were going to sue him, or there was some crazy story surrounding, don't tell anybody how we make these things or else the bakery mafia will come after you.
If I was the home of, I would be the home of Cajun rye toast with peanut butter.
Mm.
What is that? What's Cajun rye
Monica.
Toast?
Monica. Well, oh, Lord.
This used to be one of my favorite things. Basically, you would take rye bread and you would burn it.
You burn it.
Ooh.
He likes it burned.
How badly burned?
So it looks like he's eating a charcoal briquette.
Then you slather it with creamy peanut butter.
And when you bite into it, these black crumbs go spraying all over the place, and your teeth are blackened out. And I tell him, I think it means you're missing something in your diet. You know, pica.
Yeah, the charcoal. Yeah, right. Like, why are you eating burnt food? Yeah.
Or why are you eating dirt? Why are you eating burnt food? Really?
But since I was a kid, I've always loved that. It's just been one of my favorite things.
And even now, we have a toaster that was malfunctioning, and so you push the toast down, and then you would not know that it was burning until you smelled the smoke.
And I was going to say, does it set off smoke alarms?
Well, no, thank goodness. But this is a case of...
Johnny would say, I'm going to throw this one. No,
throw it away.
Let me grab the peanut butter.
And I say, can I give it to you and let me leave the room? Because there's just nothing attractive about a person sucking on a charcoal briquette.
But then it has to be smooth peanut butter.
Smooth peanut, so it gets all melty.
Wow.
And, yeah.
I'll have to try that sometime.
No. Okay, stick with goat meat and plantain and good stuff like that.
grandpa used to say, if you've burned the toast, he said, you can scrape it to any color you want.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
Unless
it's
totally burnt.
And then you still have the undertaste of the burnt, but...
Your grandpa sounds like my kind of guy.
Monica, can we keep you for a few more minutes? Because we're going to come back, and are actively involved in going to restaurants and doing so many things, wearing your reporter hat for Axios, talk a little bit about if you've encountered any behind-the-scenes information about how restaurants are dealing with the possibility of ICE raids on their restaurants. And if you want to send Monica some information, write to monica.eng, E-N-G, at axios.com if you have some place you'd like to recommend that she visit for the home of whatever that food is on WGN.
And Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. When's the last time you heard the Ohio Express singing yummy,
yummy, yummy,
yummy? I've got love in my tummy. We're talking food with Monica Ng. You can read her in Axios. You should get a copy of her book, Made in Chicago, Stories Behind 30 Great Hometown Bites.
And Monica, in this past week, there's been a lot of trying to get our bearings about, what's going to happen? And let's specifically look at the restaurant industry. I heard, I think his name is Sam Sanchez. He was the past chairman of the Illinois Restaurant Association. And last week I heard him say, if we lose our undocumented immigrants in the restaurant business, the restaurant industry in Chicago will collapse. I'm wondering what you're hearing behind the scenes when you visit restaurants, and what sense are you getting from restaurants as they prepare for the unknown, what appears to be the, well, you don't know exactly what's going to happen here in Chicago.
I'm hearing the same thing, and I interviewed Sam Sanchez a few weeks ago. He started the Comité de Cien, which is a committee of 100, and these are Latino Trump voters and business people who are urging the Trump administration to please be to be careful who they pick up, that it's not going to gut the entire food industry, and that it is, you know, targeted towards, say, people who have criminal convictions. So I'm hearing that, you know, some people aren't showing up for work. A lot of people who are their customers don't want to come out. I'm hearing about 50% foot traffic being down at some places and in some neighborhoods.
So fear of showing up for work, fear that even if you have all your papers and such, that you might get swept away if ICE people come in on your restaurant,
that just because you look a certain way
or you're speaking Spanish or whatever, that they is that the concern?
Yeah, this is what I'm hearing. I'm speaking to you from a conference that goes all night right now, and I talked to a Filipino woman tonight, and she said, I brought my passport. And I said, well, why did you bring your passport? And she was born here. She said, because I have brown skin and I'm just afraid. And so there is a lot of fear out there. You know, you heard about what happened at Hamline Elementary. They thought it was ICE. It turned out to be the Secret Service. But I've spoken to someone who looks at attendance there, and he said that they were looking at 60% attendance on one of those days, and he expected it to get even worse last week. I should have caught up with him last week. I've sent in what's called a Freedom of Information Act request to the Department of Homeland Security, and I wanted to find out, can you tell me the status of everyone you picked up in Illinois in January? Because I'd like to know, are these people actually wanted for crimes or convicted of crimes? Or are you picking up a lot of collateral in the meantime? And I think that's why it's so hard when Superintendent Snelling says, hey, everybody, it's okay to go to school, it's okay to go to work. And then we ask him, oh, right, so they're only picking up people with criminal records? Well, actually, we don't know. And so how can you say on one hand, it's totally safe to go, but we don't know who they're picking up?
And what was the interview that we saw the other night where there was one of the ICE officials that was saying, yes, we're going after criminals, but if we happen to see somebody
while we're arresting a known criminal, then we would take that person along, too, so that we could double check to be sure that they, in fact, should be here. Do we know what percentage of, or is this impossible to know, what percentage of restaurant workers are undocumented in Chicago?
Well, it's so interesting. Sam Sanchez said that he didn't know. He said, look, I ask everybody to file their Social Security cards, and they do. And he said, they don't even file them to me anymore. He said, they have to file them to a government website. So he said, I'm not even part of that. And so I really don't know what percentage is. And he said, you know how I found out what percentage of my workforce was undocumented? During COVID. He said, half my workers said, see you later, I'm collecting unemployment, I'm going to go travel now. Oh. And then half of them kept showing up for work. And he said, those are the ones who could not file for unemployment. And that's how I realized 50% of my workforce appeared to be undocumented.
And are there some neighborhoods in Chicago that would be more concerned than others? For example, sometimes as we're driving home, we'll drive down Devon, and there is a wonderful, it's a largely an Indian community.
Little India.
With restaurants. And so my point is, are there some neighborhoods like that where
like
they
Pilsen
would probably be more concerned than others?
Well, Little Village is, you know, certainly one of them near 26 in California. Mm-hmm. And they say that it's like a ghost town. They said, Sanchez told me the day after November 5th, after the election, it was a ghost town. and they're seeing very low foot traffic right now. But you're right, you know, in all sorts of immigrant communities. I don't know if it's still the case, but I remember talking to Billy Lawless, who was a restaurant owner, and he actually died last year in Chicago, but he also represented Irish in Chicago, and he was doing an interview at BZ, and he said that Irish immigrants were the number one population of undocumented people in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was shocked. I was like, wait a minute. No, you mean Mexican, right? And he said, nope.
Huh.
I don't know if that's still the case. This was about 8 years ago.
Yeah.
But I had no idea the numbers were so high.
I didn't either. That's a story right there.
Yeah.
Well, this is an ongoing story that you are covering at Axios. And in fact, how can listeners access what you're doing for Axios?
Sure. They can just go to axios.com/local/Chicago or just type into Google Axios Chicago, and you'll see all of our stories, including, you know, the ones about immigration that we're covering very closely. We covered the American Business Immigration Coalition that pleaded with the Trump administration, bipartisan group, to please, please, please don't hurt meatpacking, stockyards, agriculture, manufacturing, and healthcare, which are really reliant on undocumented labor. They said you're going to see prices go sky high if you mess with these industries.
Hmm.
I'm going to do a little bit of an question here. Well, then audible. Is the
yes.
word I was trying to think
yeah.
of. Can we get you back in a couple of weeks just to follow up on this?
Because absolutely.
This is a story that is yeah. going to be an ongoing story.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't mind, we'd like to pick
yeah,
your brain about it.
And this past week, I think we all came to terms with the fact, well, what could this mean and when is all this going to happen? And again, did I understand you to say that you're getting feedback that some restaurants are actually seeing their foot traffic is down in this past week?
Right, because their customers were also undocumented people, and they simply don't want to expose themselves to being outside. And you know, so they're saying that whether through actual deportations of people or just fear, this is having a very significant impact on both their customers and their workers.
Hmm.
Oh boy.
This would I think obviously if you look at the statistics, hospitality in hotels.
Oh yeah,
sure.
In Chicago, this would be a huge impact on them if all of a sudden half their staff doesn't show up to make the beds and clean the rooms. And
mm-hmm.
wow,
the Illinois Hotel Association was a huge lobbyist when they were, you know, begging the Biden administration to please give people work permits
mm-hmm.
because they're very reliant on it too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I said that people can get a hold of you at monica.eng, E-N-G, at Axios, AXIOS.com.
And they can follow you on all kinds of social media?
That's right. Monica Eng Reporter on Instagram. Just put pictures of what I'm eating and my stories on there. Or the Axios Chicago's got a great Instagram as well.
When was the last time you went swimming in Lake Michigan?
It was November. I wanted to go with my kids in December. My son wanted to go, and for some reason I had to bake something. But, you know, we're getting these 50-degree days in
oh, no.
winter, which is crazy. And so I'm going out.
No.
So Sunday is going to be in the 50s? Mid-50s.
No,
right.
Don't.
Going tomorrow.
Oh, golly. Every time you would say, hey, and she actually posts pictures. So this is for real. She's not just saying I'm going swimming in Lake Michigan. She really does. And
it's so invigorating.
Oh,
I
know.
You almost get addicted to it.
I want to see a picture of you going swimming in Lake Michigan, holding up some cheese.
Okay, some crispy cheese.
Yeah. With your book in the other hand.
There you go.
Yes.
All right, I'll send you the picture.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And again, your book is readily available, Made in Chicago, Stories Behind 30 Great Hometown Bites. As you are readily available, you're busy all over the place. And yeah. Your job is fun, but there's that other side of your job that I'm sure gets to be very frustrating. And thank you for doing what you do, Monica.
Yeah, I like balancing the fun with the serious.
Yes, we appreciate it. Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Monica.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take
now.
Care. Bye-bye.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN. King and Johnny Putman, and we're shouting, is that Devo? I got it right.
Mm-hmm. Right. I like it. It's good. And we have some new states checking in tonight for the first time. We have Montana checking in. And we have more folks listening to us in Iowa. I just realized that we haven't had an Iowan check in for literally months and months. So
we've marked them absent.
That's right. So let me roll through some of these. Scott is in Pierre, South Dakota. Gino's in Monticello. Or is it Monticello, Indiana? Gordon Larson is listening in Flowery Branch, Georgia. Peter Lawrence is in Sauk Village. Laura and her dog Cotton are out in Willowbrook. Bonnie is in Butternut, Wisconsin. Whitefish, Montana is listening. Whitefish. I have visions of sleeping under the stars in Whitefish, Montana. That's one of my things on my bucket list. That and hugging a lion. And owning a monkey. Ken and his puppy Gus are listening in Ann Arbor. George and Bonnie are out in Elgin. Thank you guys for checking in. Mike and Lois are in LeClaire, Iowa. See, Mike and Lois, we're going to check you absent every week if you're not listening in. Carol Tyler Roberts is overlooking the Gulf of Mexico, and she's listening on her phone tonight and sent us a lovely picture.
Hey, Carol.
Sherry and Bob are in Arlington Heights. Robin's in Dyer, Indiana. Stacy's in Algonquin. JP's in Peoria. Mary Cusworm is in someplace on Anna Maria Island, Florida.
Is that around the Keys?
I don't know, but she's never checked in before, but Anna Maria Island, Florida. Bill is in Hobart and Jim G's in Wisconsin, and Sherry Hanrahan is out in Romeoville with Lucy and Desi. Those are her cats. David Shine with his cat is listening in Mount Prospect. Gianna Norbar in Indian Rocks Beach, Florida. Indian Rocks Beach, Florida. That's another new one on me. Dan Lewandowski's in Wichita Falls, Texas. Gary Gray's in Dalton. Mary Ellen Vance is in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Also tuned in tonight. And by the way, you can check in with us at 312-981-7200, or you can follow us on our Facebook page. Or later on tonight, we'll tell you how you can sign up for our free blog in case you're not interested in being on Facebook, and we completely understand that. Also tuned in tonight is Donna Youngheim and Michelle Reitman, and so many listeners are recalling the night that we were on the radio during the big snowmageddon.
Yeah.
Gosh, 2011.
When Roger Bettish was stranded out on Lakeshore Drive.
Carrie Johnson's in Palm Coast, Florida. Maria Prudence is in Evergreen Park. Mary Gold is in Tinley Park. Our buddy Bobby Danos, Rabbit, 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 he's out in Sammich, Illinois. Barry Loskoff, he is tuned in. He's been listening to this radio station since back in the days of Franklin McCormick, he says. Gene Jacobson is in Milwaukee. Douglas Plummer is tuned in. Tracy Douglas. Scott Cooper's in Naperville. Susan Roche is in Wheeling. Bonnie Pearson's in Grays Lake. Brian Lefevre's in Bridgeport. Terry Knight in Batavia. Delphine Bierman's in Chicago. Patricia Humans in Myrtle Beach. Hey, welcome in here. Rita Reggie's in Fort Worth, Texas. Beverly Ann Goodall is tuned in from Highwood. Jan Reinhart's in the laboratory. Terry Brock's in Bridgeview. Ellen Maria is in McHenry County. Nancy Hollins is tuned in from Northbrook. Nancy Tomaszewski is in West Allis, and she's on her Chromebook. And John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. Norb Rosansky's out in Aurora. Ron Anderson is in Louisville, Kentucky, listening on the GN app. Helen Thomas is in K-Town, Kenosha. Dawn Zell, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit to you, Dawn. Elaine Treples in Lake Geneva. Larry Mann is tuned in for the whole show tonight from Miami. Margot Moore is in Albuquerque. Celine Elders is listening. Sharon Malone is in Kenosha. Kathy Abnor is in Peoria. Her brother Ralph also tuned in. Barb Larkin is in Milwaukee. Nancy Nosick is in South Holland. Steve Colner's in Kenosha. Joan Bloom is in Greenville, South Carolina. Christine Failing is in Plainfield. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. Janice forgive me, Janice, but you're in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. I know that. Richard Ward is in Troy, Missouri. Robin Aiken is in Florida, Fort Charlotte, and Linda Moeller is in the Oklahoma Panhandle. And thank you. If I didn't get to you, I will get to you next week, like Peter Jukbowitz and Eric Baum, who always sends us a great picture from his place in Wells Beach, Maine. But tonight we get a picture of a belt buckle.
I love this text from a 312. Is this romper room?
It is. Yeah. That was a big thrill of mine when romper room would look in the mirror and they would say it. I see Johnny and he, and I would scream at the television, no, I'm not a he. And then remember when we got to speak to her and I was just.
You were.
When she said my. Yeah, she said my name and I was like, oh, wow. 50 years after the fact, and now I'm still, well, anyway.
And you can text us at 312-981-7200. Some people were emailing us and saying, I don't know how to get in touch with you. Well, 312-981-7200.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also email us, and there are a couple different addresses to email us, but try email us at stevenjohnny.com, and in a little bit we'll tell you how to follow us on our blog. And some people want to know, are we going to post the video for the Snowmageddon? Yeah, we'll do
yes,
that
we will
in a little
do that.
Bit, too.
Yes, I'm doing a quick check here to find out what time is it in Sydney, Australia. Right now, it is 3:56 on a Sunday afternoon, and Dan and Irene Zora are listening to us on the app from Sydney, Australia. And that's a first for us.
Cool.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And no, I meant to say the Gulf of Mexico. Mm-hmm. Where we have a house.
Yes.
And no, this is not Romper Room, but it makes me feel good to think that there are people that remember Romper Room when she would look in that goofy mirror. And it's fun for us to kind of get a sense of where people are tuned in. And every week I will say how many states we've touched on. And this week we made it into 17 states.
A 414 area code text. This is Kathy, and I'm listening in Siesta Key, Florida. Indian Rocks is just south of Clearwater.
Okay.
And if you follow the west coast down further, you'll come to Anna Maria Island.
Okay, so it's a fur piece down there in Florida. Because people will say to us oftentimes, oh, so you get to go to the Keys. No. That's like a long, long drive for us. It's easier to go to New Orleans.
On the northwestern Gulf Coast. It's almost southern Alabama.
Yes.
We're literally an hour outside of Alabama.
Quicker to go to New Orleans than it is to go to Disney World, or certainly quicker than going to the Keys.
Our part of Florida, the Panhandle, is roughly 90 miles east of Pensacola.
Mm-hmm. And in the news, because of the big snowstorm just a week and a half ago, and kids are still talking about it. A friend of ours is a teacher at an elementary school, and she said at the end of the week they were writing about, you know, how their week had been. Everybody was just
Kids got to make snowmen for the first time ever,
and some actually still have snowballs in their freezer so that they can remember that day, which is really cool. Coming up, we're going to spend some time talking about the Grammys. The Beatles are in the news because they've been nominated for 2 Grammys. And so there's some real basic questions like, well, who gets the Grammys if they win?
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk to our friend who is a Beatleologist. He's written the books on the Beatles.
Wally Podrasek will be joining us. And I want, if the Beatles win, does AI get a Grammy too?
I don't know.
Because, well, we'll talk about it in a few minutes.
I'm just wondering who gets the Grammy. Because the song features all the Beatles, but there are only 2 of them, who will apparently be at the Grammys. They've got a star-studded lineup. Every day I'm looking like, okay. And, of course, this is one of those shows that people love to hate. So buckle up. You're going to hear it come Monday morning. Oh, I don't know any of those people or any of those songs. And did you see those outfits? If you don't like that kind of thing, just don't let it make you crazy.
Just move on.
There's enough crazy in the world. Don't add to it.
us on the screen, it don't feel right. Facebook's drama, Twitter's fight, or is it X now? Can't keep it right. Scammers lurking out for a buck, pretending to help, but it's all bad luck. Four-year friends come and go, politics running the same old show. Social media, oh, it's the truth. Can't live with it, but it's got its roots. Like whiskey with a tear, it burns just right, but it leaves you empty by the end of the night. It'll rot your soul, but it's hard to refuse. Here I am singing the social media blues.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Here I am singing the social media blues.
That's a new source code.
Yeah. And social media blues means we are now welcoming the man who is the director of educational technology, Keck School of Medicine of USC. More importantly, the father to our grandchild, Joseph. That would be Dr. Patrick Crispin. Hey, Patrick.
Woohoo! And Joseph is back in school, finally.
Yes, yes. Well, that must have been a huge day for him, because it was kind of, you weren't really 100% sure the night before, right?
We've been following this, obviously, since the fires on the 7th of January, and all the schools in the Pasadena Unified School District closed. There are about 14,000 students in the Pasadena Unified School District. 10,000 lived in neighborhoods that had to be evacuated of the fires. And again, this is an older part of the city of Los Angeles. I mean, a lot of these homes were built 100, 120 years ago. So when they burned down, they released a lot of toxins into the air, a lot of asbestos, a lot of benzene, a lot of lead. And reopening schools, you can't just go and say, okay, everybody show up. You had to have very deep cleaning in the schools. Mm. So they had professionals come in effect, clean every single surface in the school. And then they had to go and do EPA air testing to make sure it was safe for the students. And because Joseph's school, which, by the way, is 100 years old, was really close to the fire, it was in the last batch of schools that reopened. So fortunately, all Pasadena Unified students are back in school. But Joseph, in the entire month of January, went to school 4 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first 2 days, you know, Monday and Tuesday in January, when the school reopened, fire, and he went for the last 2 days of January. So,
and I remember that last day in the early part of the month when I was talking to him and his mom, Christine, as they were coming home from school, and she said that the winds were so strong that weren't the teachers using walkie-talkies to get the kids out to the cars, to the parents' cars?
Yeah, instead of allowing the people to go out and, you know, have the kids wait outside for the parents to show up at parent pickup, they were keeping the kids inside the school. And when a parent came up, they would get on a walkie-talkie and say, okay, send this one kid out, just because it was so dangerous to go outside.
Yeah.
That's how windy it was in Pasadena. The other thing that's really kind of shocking, we talk about this sort of green trash, which is the yard waste that you put out after, you know, a storm. Pasadena actually estimated that in the 24 hours prior to the fire starting, the city of Pasadena generated 1 year's worth of green waste in 24 hours.
Oh, my God.
That's how windy it was. And then the sparks in Eaton Canyon flew, winds 50, 70, 100 miles per hour, throwing sparks 3 to 5 miles. It was absolute hell. So hats off to the firefighters who fought it. The Eaton fire is now completely 100% contained. The Palisades fire is 100% contained. The damage is beyond belief. Nearly 10,000 structures in Pasadena and Altadena were destroyed.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
By the way, speaking of that, I want to keep you on that for a second. The two benefits that were earlier this week, Johnny and I tried to record, and it didn't get recorded. Is there any place that we could still see that and make a contribution?
YouTube. I actually watched it yesterday on YouTube. It is available on, just go on to YouTube and search for Fire Aid, one word, and you'll see the entire concert.
And are there still working numbers where you can contribute?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Okay. Well, there is so much for us to get into tonight. This has been one of those weeks. Do we want to start with what has been sending the stock market all over the place? And
that was crazy.
People scurrying DeepSeek.
DeepSeek. Weird name. One word, right?
DeepSeek. And here's the story. If you have a set market and everybody knows how the market works and they understand who all the players are, and when a new company comes in and just completely upends that marketplace and is able to produce a better product for less price, the value of the incumbent companies, in this case, OpenAI, NVIDIA, absolutely collapsed. Earlier this week, what ended up happening was this Chinese company called DeepSeek released a new OpenAI model, or an open artificial intelligence model that, in effect, if you believe the press releases, actually was able to do its job at a fraction of the cost of what we have to pay right now when we're going and setting up a new AI model. If I wanted to build an AI model right now, let's say that you and I and everybody at WGN decide we're going to have the Stephen Johnny GPT.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, we need basically $100 million, $200 million just in computing clusters. We're going to need a whole bunch of graphical processing units, GPUs. Each of these GPUs are $40,000 a piece. Mm. We need tens of thousands of these things. Mm-hmm. And the amount of electricity we've got to be able to put into this is staggering. In fact, that's why you're hearing a lot in the AI industry about the importance of bringing back Three Mile Island and nuclear, because we need more power. We just don't have enough power. All of that's baked into the price of the tech stocks. And what we have the expectation in this industry is you're going to have massive capital expenditures and massive operating expenditures, followed by more massive capital expenditures and more operating expenditures. And the companies that could do this right now, until earlier this week, you were looking at Google, which has more money than God, Meta, OpenAI and Microsoft are partnered together, XAI, which is Twitter. And then there were some other sort of super well-funded startups like Perplexity, Anthropic, which I think is being funded by Amazon. DeepSeek is an AI company born out of a hedge fund, and they have come up with a way to do it at 1/50th of the resources of the state of the art models. And they were able to beat some of the benchmarks on OpenAI's model at a fraction of the price. It was absolutely astonishing. This shook everybody in this industry to its core. And the way they did it, and I'm going to date myself here, but I'm from Alabama and it's legal for me to date myself. sorry. is, do you remember in the 70s and the 80s, and we talked about Russian computer programmers and how good they were? And the reason why they were so darn good was they had garbage equipment. They couldn't go and get the latest computers. So they had to go and take these really old, limited computers and try to eke out as much as they could out of these computers. Well, the same thing's going on with China right now. Because of the embargo that we put, particularly on the graphical processing units that we could send overseas, China didn't have the latest and greatest GPUs, these computers that could do multiple matrix math and parallel processing at the same time. They had earlier versions and lesser versions, and they had their engineers try to figure out, okay, well, we can't use the latest tools. Can we get more out of what we currently have.
Ah.
And that's what they did, was they kind of said, okay, well, we've got scarce resources here. What can we do? And they came up with a couple different innovations, three or four of them. One of them is, if you go to OpenAI, if you go to Anthropic or anything else, they're doing what's called 32-bit architecture, which is basically every number that they do has 32 zeros or ones or whatever added to it. And they said, okay, could we do this with 8 instead and get it to work?
And they did.
They did, which meant that they were able to do it at a third of what was being done on the other systems. And when you look at OpenAI and the way that it sort of reads things and the way it puts things back together, it's using tokens, and tokens are really words or portions of the words. And the folks in China said, or we can use phrases. We can use sentences.
Wow.
Instead of using individual words, let's just do it a little bigger than that. And then instead of turning all the system on at the same time, we'll just turn parts of it on as it needs to go on, and that'll save us electricity. The other thing that was really kind of unique, and all of these models do this, but this was the DeepSeek R1 was the first one to kind of expose this to everybody, was it showed you what it was thinking. What I mean by that is, if you ask an OpenAI model, go to ChatGPT and say, okay, I need you to do something, it just gives you an answer. If you were using DeepSeek R1, you could say, okay, solve this problem for me and show me what you're
how
thinking.
How you're doing it.
Show me how you did it.
So you're watching the process as it's happening.
You're watching it think. And what's great about that is it gives you the opportunity to see where the AI gets confused, so you can sit there and say, oh, wait, I see what you got wrong here.
Uh-huh.
Here's how you messed up. So if you go to, you know, earlier versions of ChatGPT and say, as I was going to St. Ives, I met a man with 7 wives, blah, 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 blah. You know, the old limerick.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see how ChatGPT would get confused, but you don't understand what's going on behind the scenes. It gives you the wrong answer. If you go to DeepSeek R1, it would show you, and not only to give you the answer, but they say, this is how I got to this answer. And you go, oh, I see where you got this wrong.
That's impressive.
So none of these, by the way, are actually groundbreaking, but putting all four of these together. Huge. Yeah.
Apparently, it became the app became the app to have last week on Apple and on Google, which frankly surprised me a little bit. And then Italy came along and said, we're going to ban it. And Ireland and Belgium are saying, we think we might ban it as well. So a little bit more on this DeepSeek story, which was a huge story last week.
And I also want to get into a little bit about, as I understand it, while some of the tech stocks have been impacted, Apple has not.
Very interesting.
And from what I'm understanding, a very interesting reason why they have not been impacted.
Talking Tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. We're talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin. And Patrick, interesting text that just came in. A listener had a real interesting question.
If TikTok out of China is so bad, why would everybody want to embrace DeepSeek?
And it's actually a really great question. One of the best descriptions I've seen of DeepSeek is that it's really just ChatGPT, because if you are using the DeepSeek app on an iPhone or an Android, everything you do on the app is being saved and served on servers in China.
Wow.
So information DeepSeek collects is stored on servers in the People's Republic of China. The other thing is, because it is a Chinese company, it has been very deeply neutered by Chinese censors. So lots of topics that you ask it to talk about are going to be beyond its scope. If you ask it about Tiananmen Square or the treatment of Uyghurs or the Tibet occupation or Taiwan independence, it's a concern. The thing is, even though everybody kind of went gaga at the beginning of the week saying, oh, this just completely upends the everything we know about AI models and we don't need to spend all this money. And that's actually one of the reasons why Apple kind of came out ahead on this, is that everybody says, well, Apple kind of sat on the sidelines and they didn't get into it. The other thing is, there is some positive about DeepSeek in that if they actually have been able to get an AI model that can run on home user computers or even better on your phone and not be connected to the internet or not have to do that, that's fantastic for Apple, because that's what Apple wants to do, is they really want to put AI in your hand or on your computer and not have you have to connect to China or to some server. You run it locally, therefore it's going to be faster. The problem is, to be able to do right now in the current models, to be able to do an AI model and have it work really well, you need a scary computer. And DeepSeek has showed that no, you don't. You can actually deal with this on a decent sized computer. This is open source, by the way. R1 model for DeepSeek is open source. So if you have the app, you are connecting to a Chinese corporation. But if you go and download the model, and you can run on an average PC or Mac, I don't recommend you do it, you're running it locally, and nothing's going back to China then. But I'm hoping that more and more companies are going to look at what DeepSeek did, particularly when we're talking about using 8-bit architecture instead of 32-bit, the doing multi-token predictions instead of individual tokens, the mixture of experts turning on those. I think we're going to see more and more new models come that are going to be cheaper and cheaper and faster and faster. So this isn't the end of ChatGPT. This isn't the end of Google Gemini. I think it's a beginning, because if we can go and make these things work even better and faster using the existing hardware, there's going to be AI everywhere.
So this is, in simple terms, this is a case of competition is can be viewed as a good thing.
Competition is an amazing thing, because the idea is hardware requirements and costs are going to plummet. Competition is going to increase. So, you know, we're going to see new companies now have the freedom to go and say, hey, I want to try this as well.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of a fantastic experience. That said, I will also say OpenAI has not sat on the sidelines. On Friday, OpenAI released ChatGPT 03 Mini. Boy, who names these things? And it is, in effect, their R1 clone. It's a smaller, cheaper, faster model, and it does do reasoning. It will show you what it's thinking. It will show you how to do fact checks.
That didn't take long.
It's available today, including if you are a free ChatGPT user, you can use it today for free as well.
We need to turn to some of the other headlines from Washington. And Musk has been making some moves that have a lot of people unhappy.
Scared. Angry. So let's tackle that one, Patrick. What's your take on being shut out of your computer, for example?
This is, and I'm going to try to tread gently on this one, because there are certainly two different sides to this. With President Trump's endorsement, Elon Musk has gone into the Office of Personnel Management. It's basically the HR department for the entire government. And appointed some of his allies in there. And these allies are going into, in effect, the HR system for the entire federal government, and have locked out are basically restricted career civil servants' access to those systems. And these are systems that basically contain personal data of maybe 2.2 million civilian government employees. And if you think about an HR system, if you ever have to deal with HR, the HR systems include dates of birth,
sure,
social security numbers, all your performance appraisals, home addresses, next of kin, pay grades, length of service. So the concern that a lot of people have is why did they get access to the system?
Mm-hmm.
And what are they going to do with it? And Donald Trump has kind of said he really does want to limit the size of the government. So this action could indicate that there's going to be impending workforce reductions or role changes in the federal government. The other thing is, and this is sort of kind of thinking about the downstream consequences of it, this could disrupt daily operations of the government because sometimes you need to get into the HR system to be able to run the government and deal with the HR issues. And that would decrease the efficiency of the government, which then would give Elon Musk and the Doge team, see, it doesn't work. Mm. We need to get rid of these people. It could be a justification.
But don't they have rights? I mean,
yes.
And isn't there an overriding question of, is this legal?
Yes. I mean, yes, that's a question.
Yeah, that is a question. And if you lock employees out without prior notification, you do run up to sort of the barriers of employment rights and employment law and union contracts, and the unions for the government could very well oppose this, and it could possibly be illegal. I'm going to go, this is where it gets a little confusing, but I'm not sure that matters anymore.
Hmm.
And I give you the example of TikTok. The law in TikTok couldn't be clearer. TikTok is not allowed to operate in the United States of America. The law says it can't operate. And if it does operate, it's on the hook for hundreds of billions of dollars in fines. And any company that enables TikTok to operate in the United States of America is on the hook for hundreds of billions of dollars in fines. That's why it's no longer in the Apple Store, the Apple App Store, or Google Chrome Store. But TikTok is operating. And yeah, the law says it can't operate, but Donald Trump wants it to operate. It's operating.
Mm-hmm.
Locking employees out without prior approval and giving this, is it legal? Maybe. Does it matter? I don't know who would challenge this,
yeah,
or how it could be challenged.
And that gets to a question that we won't linger on here, but the question is, are we going to be a nation of laws? And that's a question that
Has to be answered.
Has to be answered, yeah. And I know we're getting a little far from computer stuff, but not really, because it's all interrelated, and it's part of the discussions that will be going on over the next weeks, months, years.
And Patrick, you said at the outset, you tread lightly because there are two sides to the story, but we only know one. That's the problem. Yeah. We only know one. We don't know why. Why is this being done?
I will also tell you, and I think that the concern that people have is that Elon Musk is not a government employee. He is a private citizen, and he doesn't have constitutional authority, and he now has access to important, critical database systems that are handling the Office of Personnel Management and also the Treasury Department. And the thing is, the Constitution is pretty clear that the Senate has to be confirming anybody who's yielding a whole bunch of federal power this hasn't happened.
Right.
Does it matter? I don't know. But the thing we've got to remember is this is a technology issue because they're using technology. Mm-hmm. What are they going to do with the technology? We don't know.
Right.
And I will just say my opinion, it has to matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we know if any unions have come out and said, hey, we need to talk. This isn't right. This is blatantly up against the law as it's written.
I think the unions are kind of gathering this weekend.
Maybe they're in shock, right?
They're trying to figure out the breadth and depth of this.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what, you know, what the president's mandate is. Trying to figure out what the Supreme Court justices are going to allow. What the Congress is going to allow. I think this is a wait and see issue.
And if this is an effort to be more efficient as a government, someone is actually going to go through 2.2 million pieces of individual accounts, let's just put it like that, and pick and choose who goes and who stays. That's pretty mind-boggling too.
Well, you can do that pretty easily with a database and putting together a
Oh, so you say X number of people that make this amount of money, have worked this many years, you know, have blonde hair and blue eyes or whatever.
But let me put on the tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, or X number of people where I take one database, which is the 2.2 million civilian government employees. I then go take the voting registrations for the entire country and compare the two and say, okay, well, this person's registered in a party I don't like anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go after this person. We don't know if that's happening.
Yeah.
But it certainly is one
It's a concern.
Scenario.
Yeah, one concern. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, we're gonna take a break.
Yes. And come back.
There's a whole Google thing that we want to get into.
Too. Google Chrome News, and a hacking story, which is really interesting about Subaru. And we talk cars a couple times a month, and this is a biggie, too. We're talking with Dr. Patrick Crispin, talking tech, as we do a couple times a month here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. They don't write them like that anymore. We're talking tech with...
Hello? I have my headphones turned off.
Talking tech with Patrick Crispin. So what's going on with Google Chrome, Patrick?
There is a vulnerability in Google Chrome that you need to be aware of. I'll just jump to the end. You need to be careful if you find a new Google Chrome extension. You need to sit there and go, wait a minute. Do I really want to install this?
Wait. How would you find out about an extension?
Well, you could find out about it if you go to the Google Chrome web store. You could also find out about it on social media.
But it's not going to come to you as a, need to update and put this on your computer.
No, this is something where you're going to get some sort of message. If you go into the Google Chrome web store and you start looking for, hey, I need something that allows me to edit PDFs.
Okay.
Or you go on to TikTok, which shouldn't be operating, or Facebook or any of the, and you see a friend of yours saying, hey, I found this really cool thing that shows me the best prices for particular products at five different shopping sites. And you just need to go and add this thing to your web browser from the Google Chrome web store. What happens is there is a way, I'm not going to go too deeply into this, but there's a way for these bad people to create these malicious Chrome extensions in the Google Chrome web store. And they then kind of trick you into saying, hey, you need to go do this because this is going to be the greatest thing. It gives you this extra feature. You can see things, that, you know, hidden features in Facebook you would never be able to see.
Yeah.
And you, what it does is you install this, and then it goes and opens up sort of this fake Google support page on your computer and tells you how to turn on synchronization on it. It's called Google Sync. And if you go and do that, you in effect are giving the bad guys your entire Google account. It's all of your Google data. It's your passwords, it's your browsing history, it's your email, and it ends up in the hands of the hacker. The way you stay safe in this, on Google Chrome, just avoid installing new Chrome extensions unless you know it is completely something you have to have, and you've seen hundreds of millions of other people have installed this extension. Okay, it's probably going to be a good one. But there's a new one where it's like Bob's super secret awesome extension. Don't do that.
As tempting as that may be.
it might be really cool. And really ask yourself, do I really need this? Because this is called browser sync jacking. It is a new vulnerability in Google Chrome web browsers. You just got to be careful about it. This, by the way, does not impact other web browsers. This just seems to be taking advantage of something called Google Sync.
Give them time.
And a way. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How do you check to see if someone else using your computer may have inadvertently installed that? How do you check to see if you've got it on Google Chrome?
What you can do is just open up a Google Chrome and then go look at your extensions. And I think it's called about:add-ons or add. And you could then go in and see all of the different extensions that are installed on Google Chrome and choose which ones you want to have on or off. And I try to limit my Google Chrome extensions to the ones that I absolutely desperately need. And I kind of have stopped using Google Chrome over the last 6 months or so.
Yeah. I rarely use it, and I've never been a fan of extensions. That's just me.
And can you have
some neat features?
Can you have Google Chrome on your computer and not have any extensions?
Sure.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, so for people listening, before you freak out, if you check and you don't have any extensions, that's good. You're fine if you want to continue using Google Chrome.
Yeah, and basically, if you want to check to see what's installed in Google Chrome, open up Chrome. On the far right-hand side, click on those three sort of vertical dots, and then go down and click on extensions and manage extensions, and you can see all the extensions that you have. Right now, I've got 1Password, Google Docs Offline, Privacy Manager, uBlock Origin, which no longer works, and Chris Peterick's as web developer. I know these are legitimate ones, but I'm not seeing Bob's awesome one here, so I don't have to worry about it.
I want you to go back to something you just said. uBlock Origin no longer works?
Yeah.
What's with that?
This was something we talked about on the air. Basically, in Manifest version 3, the Google Chrome doesn't allow things like uBlock Origin to get between you and other web pages and remove advertisements.
Mm-hmm. But you can use it with other browsers.
I use it in Firefox, and that's actually the reason why I stopped using Chrome is I need uBlock Origin to keep the ads off of my computer.
Okay,
I have a question about Chrome on my phone, because on my Android phone, my search engine is Google Chrome.
Yes.
Now, you could be vulnerable if you get some enticing thing to add an extension on your phone. It would be the same kind of sync jacking, right?
Yes, it can be.
So don't do that on your phone either, because honestly, I've never, until tonight, I never really gave much thought to what I'm using as my browser on my phone. And I looked and went, wait, that's the Google app there. And it's a Chrome app.
And on your phones, you do have the option of using a different browser, a DuckDuckGo or whatever.
I just never
Firefox.
Did.
Firefox.
Yeah, Firefox. Yeah. But at the end of the show, I will be doing that because I'm looking going, wait a minute. I didn't even know I was, because at home, I don't use Google Chrome anymore because I found I was having a horrible time accessing banking with it.
Can I hold you on phones for a second?
Of course.
And this is partly personal. My brother Lee has been having a problem with his battery running down sooner, and we're wondering if there is something running in the background. How do you find out if there's something running in the background on your phone?
Is it an Android or an iOS?
It's an Android.
Android.
I don't. There is a way to do it. I don't remember it. I apologize. There is a way for you to see it.
I said, go to a Verizon store because there must be something. He goes to bed, it's 100. He wakes up, it's 60%. Something is going on. And he's done nothing.
So something is running that down.
40% is a huge dip overnight while you're not doing anything on the phone.
You would think there'd be some way on iPhones or Android phones just to see what's running and how do I turn it off.
Well, a few years ago, I had a movie that was running on my phone, and I did not activate this, but somehow a movie, and it became a really big deal on Reddit. People were saying, what's going on here? I've got this crazy movie that just kind of took over my phone and started, and it was draining the battery, and that was by going to Reddit. That's the only way I found out I had a movie that was playing in the background.
Patrick, you were going to say?
Yeah, what Lee can try to do, I'm trying to remember how to do this because it's been a while since I've tried Android. I know that on the iPhone there's a battery and battery sort of system feature, and I think there's also one that's on Android. If you open up settings, click on battery, and then click on battery usage. Mm-hmm. What battery usage will show you is all the apps based on how much battery they use.
Yes.
And then the high draining apps are going to be at the top of your list. By the way, this is very similar to what you can do in iOS. It's just I'm an iOS user. But I think it's under settings.
It is.
Android.
Yes.
Yeah. And then battery.
You're absolutely right.
And you should be able to just go in and just turn off whatever those apps
are. And that's how I found the movie.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I went about it. Because I went, wait a minute, I don't recognize this. And it was running nonstop. And when it came to the end, it would go back to the beginning and just run in the background, which was really crazy. Real quick before we take a break, Deanna says, just a minute ago in Safari, a box appeared asking me to allow privacy-respecting ads because DuckDuckGo could use the money. And it wanted to install a Safari extension. This was the very first time it ever asked me anything.
And actually, one of the nice things about Safari is it actually is very secure. It's up to you whether or not you want to pay DuckDuckGo or have DuckDuckGo make a few extra bucks from you. It's up to you. Mm-hmm. Apple's very good in protecting your privacy, and remember, Apple makes Safari.
So this is not a nefarious thing.
No. Yeah, and this is actually a good example of why Apple is so good. Is that it's saying, hey, you got this company over here who wants to kind of make some stuff, make some money off of you. You okay with this? And it's up to you, and you can say no.
So instead of doing it, you are being actively involved in that decision.
Mm-hmm. Got exactly.
It. Okay. There's a story, a hacking story, with Subaru.
Sadly, the kind of thing that because of the amount of technology that is becoming more and more prominent in vehicles, this sadly is the kind of thing we're probably going to hear more about.
Yeah, your car has gone from being a computer on wheels to a computer connected to the internet on wheels. Mm-hmm. And once that happened, it became vulnerable. Now, if you're a Subaru owner, you don't have to worry about this. This was a theoretical problem that some white hat hackers found, contacted Subaru and said, you do realize your system is completely open here, and I'll explain what's going on in a minute. And they were able to fix it before apparently anybody other than these white hat hackers got in and took care of it. There was a vulnerability in Subaru's Starlink system. That's not the Elon Musk Starlink system, but Subaru's Starlink system, which is sort of their internet connectivity system, that could have allowed attackers to remotely access control vehicles, Subarus, in the United States, Canada, and Japan. And when we say access and control vehicles, I'm talking about remotely start, stop, lock, unlock the vehicles.
Wow.
Figure out where the car is at any point in time. And in fact, see where the car has been every minute of every day for the last year. And find out who owned the vehicle, what their address is, maybe even their billing information. And what was really sad is that Subaru's system to get into this information didn't seem to have much security on it. If a hacker only knew a little bit of basic information, basically your last name and maybe your zip code, maybe your email address, your phone number or license plate, any of those, they could get in and get this information. The hackers saw this and said, you do know that you're, you know, to use an analogy, they contacted Super and said, you do know that your fly is down, right? You probably want to close that because that's really, really bad. And Subaru said, oh, my God, you're right. And they pit within 24 hours of the white hat hackers coming and saying, hey, you're right, this is vulnerable. Doesn't look like any cars have actually been exploited or whatever, but I think this is going to be the first of what we're going to hear about a lot of these, because a lot of these car systems are connected, but there wasn't a lot of thought put into how do I make this secure? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, let's just Internet of Things, we'll just connect it to the internet, and nobody thought to think that there are some bad people on the internet who are going to try to get into your car and do bad things.
I remember over 20 years ago when we started talking about OnStar. And we said, okay, now what are the vulnerabilities? What are the ways that that could be abused? And we were, oh, no, don't worry about that. This is, you know, you have to be proactive. You have to tell them you need help. And then Tesla, one of their selling points is you can see your car, right? You've got cameras on your car. Your car basically is... it's alive. It's got so much information
it's
they're rolling
around. It's a spy camera.
Yeah.
And with the amount of cars now where you can take your remote and from inside the house, you can remotely start it to warm it up.
You can pull it out of the garage from inside the house.
So the technology is there.
Yeah.
It just needs to be protected.
I think major corporations should start hiring a team of hackers. It should be a requirement that we have 10 18-year-old boys over here. They all live in their mother's basement. We're going to pay them a lot of money, and they're going to look for our vulnerabilities. I'm serious.
There are a lot of companies that do that already. And you just offer the, you know, hey, go poke around our systems and see if there's any vulnerabilities. If they find any, we're going to pay you money. And
what a great thing that though these guys did for Subaru. I mean, that was brilliant to knock on the door and say your fly is down.
This is really embarrassing. You should take care of this. The big thing for all of us who have these smart cars, and technically all cars are smart, if you can figure out, you might have to go online to do a YouTube search for this. Try to figure out how you can update the software in your car. You might have to go to the infotainment center and sort of connect and to check for an update. That's really the best you can do is, you know, update your vehicle software regularly as security vulnerabilities come out. And then when you take your car in for service, if you actually go to the car dealers almost always go and check, or you can actually ask them to check, hey, can you make sure the infotainment center and all the computer systems have been updated?
But also, and I'm going to beat a dead horse here, read your manual. Why?
If there is one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in fact, most manuals are now digitally available on your infotainment screen. The car we recently got, it actually came with a manual, and I love it. And one of the many things you find in reading the manual, for example, we had a case with our newer car that there was this update, and we needed to call and make an appointment, and okay, you're going to have to call, you're going to have to leave the car for a day, and we'll have to plug it in and we'll do the update. I read through the manual. I was able to go into the interface, pull out of the garage, leave the car running, and I did the update in about 45 minutes just by sitting there and letting it download, because I knew I took my time and I knew what to do.
Yeah.
So you can, as Patrick says, you can do a lot of this stuff yourself. You should stay up to date. It is a computer that you're driving.
And you have to be responsible.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
it drives Chris. It drives Christine crazy that when I rent a car, one of the first things I always do is, first of all, erase all the settings in the car because I don't want to see anything.
Yep.
And then I always do the updates and say, yep. Okay, do they have the latest patch?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. I've been brainwashed. I'm agreeing. Well, Patrick, thank you for your time tonight. And listeners appreciate all the ground that we covered this evening. I was afraid we were getting into the, you know, deep weeds. But it was really eye-opening. This whole DeepSeek thing is here to stay.
And starting this weekend, we will be posting Patrick's show notes. Now, when we do that, if you have any questions in the comments on our blog, just post your questions, mm-hmm. and we'll answer them. We will follow up on them.
Absolutely. Again, thank you, Patrick. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Give Joseph a hug from us.
All right.
I shall.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take off our computer hats because my head's spinning. We've covered a lot of...
But speaking of spinning heads, after... After we take a break, we're going to pull Gabe in here and ask him to explain something to us that neither of us are really sure about.
Yes.
But it's a Super Bowl-related thing that we've been hearing about. So, yeah, don't go away. Part of the show where we ask Gabe Salgado to put on his sports hat.
Yes.
And, Gabe, we come to you with a question. What's the deal with many people saying the Chiefs
cheated? They're big cheats.
So over these last couple of playoff games, and probably more than that, I have not seen a lot of Chiefs games this season, but I can distinctively tell you, seeing both the AFC Championship game and watching their previous playoff game against the Houston Texans, there were a lot of calls that went their way that probably shouldn't have.
Oh, so questionable calls.
Right. And then also I was reading the other day that there was a officials gotten reprimanded by the NFL. I don't remember where I read this from, that they had gotten reprimanded for missing some calls in the AFC Championship game. Like I said, don't call me like that. I don't remember where exactly I read it.
You mean last Sunday's game? They were... Oh.
There were some calls there were some penalties that should have been called but weren't.
So that's why the fans were angry.
And because there was a pretty immediate reaction after last week's game.
And during the divisional round game against Houston, there were one example. Pat Mahomes got pushed out of bounds as he was running.
Yes.
And the shove happened in bounds, and he went out. But as soon as he crossed the sideline, all of a sudden he flopped and landed, and Houston gets called for unnecessary roughness. That shouldn't have happened.
Oh.
There were also a couple of times where Houston got called for roughing the passer on Mahomes, and the hits were legal, but they called it.
Huh.
Yeah. So
there's some ground there for criticism of the calls.
Right. So, I mean, now the whole thing about, it's rigged for Kansas City to win. I don't buy into that. I will say I hope that the Bears could be that good someday. But, in all honesty, like I said, those errant calls by the officials, Kansas City doesn't need that. They're too good for that.
Yeah.
So that's what the uproar is about, just some calls, that questionable calls that went the Chiefs' way or calls that should have been made but weren't. So they're...
And a couple of the bizarre stories related to that was, well, obviously, you know, Taylor Swift is a billionaire. She paid those officials to
Taylor
side
Swift
with her.
Taylor Swift is giving each of the officials $100,000 to make these calls.
And then I don't doubt that she has that kind of money, but I'm sure she would rather spend it elsewhere than...
I would think.
Yeah.
But I don't know her personally, just taking a guess. But
you pointed out, though, that there were some criticism. People who would see that the stadium in New Orleans is decked out in red and white lights, and people are going, see, they've already decided that Kansas City is going to win. That's why they're all red and white.
And because the logo has red, yellow, and green.
Yep.
Oh. And green is the Eagles' colors. They're like, oh, this was predetermined from the start. I mean, I saw a social media post earlier this week that said the NFL has become just as scripted as pro wrestling.
Oh, no.
Now, granted, I've never played in the NFL, but I have played organized football, and I've In a past life, I briefly dabbled as a pro wrestler, so I could tell you for sure
they're not the same.
Yeah, there's nothing scripted about organized football. Let me tell you, so in wrestling, you learn how to fall.
Yeah.
And in football, you don't. They teach you not to fall. So there's a big difference. I had to laugh when I read it. I mean, yeah. I understand why, you know, fans are frustrated. This kind of reminds me of the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Lakers of the early 2000s when they were just winning consecutive championships and everybody hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah, sure, you may get tired of it. I know, yeah, I'm not exactly, you know, let's start by saying this. Remember the Chiefs for quite a long time, they were a bad team.
Oh, and very bad.
And, you know, at one point, you know, ownership, the Hunt family, who's owned the team since its inception, they've been, you know, criticized as being, you know, terrible owners like the McCaskies have been for the last however many years here in Chicago. So, you know, to see them, you know, what they went through as an organization and watching this firsthand and seeing them turn into, you know, the dominant NFL team, they're doing what the Patriots just did,
yeah,
you know, under Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. So there's nothing, to me, there's no difference. I mean, I would hope and pray that somehow I could see the Bears become even remotely that good in my lifetime. I don't know if that'll happen.
I was going to say, in your lifetime,
but,
right?
Right. Well,
speaking of being a dominant team, I know we're still a week out, but what are your feelings on a possible three-peat?
It's quite possible. I do think that, you know, like I said, the Chiefs, even though you look at their record and you look at, you know, how they've played, how they've dominated in the playoffs, aside from, you know the questionable calls and everything, they also had some flaws exposed, you know, during the season, despite their record. There's still mm-hmm. some holes that can be exploited by Philadelphia, but the chance is still there, and it's still pretty good. But I think we're going to see a close game. Obviously, they played each other in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and the Eagles' defense faltered in the second half, which is why when the next NFL draft came around after that, the Eagles went heavy on defense, getting Jalen Carter, who Bears fans wanted. I wanted Jalen Carter for the Bears, but the Eagles got to him first. Or should I say the Bears let the Eagles get him because there was a yeah. trade and everything else. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
They didn't ask you, right?
Right. but again, you know, they went heavy on defense after that Super Bowl because that was what cost them that game. So mm-hmm. It'll be a very close game. I don't think it'll go to overtime like last year's Super Bowl did, but I could definitely see it coming down on the wire to some degree, but the chance for KC to three-peat is still there, and it still has a realistic chance of happening. But, you know, like I said, I understand the frustration. I mean, and if you really think about it, you know, how many times have we seen NFL refs, you know, get calls wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure. We've seen it happen against the Bears.
And I think you and I touched on this off the air that with every sport, oftentimes if it's not your team,
yeah, right.
Then there's got to be a problem. They must be cheating. There must be something going wrong here because my team didn't make it.
You know, and like I said, what I will say definitively on this is if the Bears could ever become as good as the Chiefs, I will die a happy
yeah.
man.
So, I hear you.
But again, like I said, you know, they're you know, the questionable calls, you know, are an issue, and you have to look out for that, see if any of that comes to fruition during the Super Bowl. So I understand why that frustration is there, but you know, at the end of the day, that you know, the Chiefs are, you know, they're the best team in football for a reason. They've proven it on the field yeah. despite that.
By the way, I haven't checked yet, but do we have any idea what the commercial rates are for the Super Bowl game this year?
From what I gather, they're well into the seven figures for just a 30-second ad.
Sure. Well, have you already seen some of the commercials? They're really, really good, too. Cher does a great commercial where she's actually making fun of herself, which is just so funny. And that's one of the things you look forward to in the Super Bowl
oh, sure.
is the commercials and the halftime. I don't even remember who's doing the halftime.
Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, is yeah. it? Oh.
So that Kendrick Lamar is probably like what my nieces and nephews listen to. I don't. Yeah. I mean, I've heard his music, but I'm not... You know, that's the younger generation of
those
of rap. I'm one of the older rappers.
Yes.
So, but I will say this though, I do like, you know, that they're bringing them in for the halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Usher was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you talk about the commercials, in all honesty, my wife, as you've heard me mention in the show, absolutely despises, you know, the sport of football. Well, sports mm-hmm. in general, but especially football, because you know the fact that you know I will flat out tell her, I'm watching the game. Do not bother me.
Yeah.
She will actually watch the Super Bowl for the commercials and
sure.
for the halftime
yes.
show.
Yes, 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 yes.
But and then after that, she will say, thank God football's over. Then when August comes back around, okay, babe, football's starting again.
Okay.
And a piece of good news related to the Super Bowl. Everybody feels that you got to have guacamole for your Super Bowl. We are told that the avocados that are at your store today will not be affected by any tariffs. So you can grab your avocados. They won't cost you $100 an avocado, and you can enjoy your guacamole during the Super Bowl.
So grab your avocados, and no, that's not code.
That's
and my
right.
wife's homemade guac is pretty good.
You know what? I am so hungry now. I can't stand this.
Yep, yep,
oh, my
yep.
gosh. We're going to...
Well, be glad you weren't in here while I was eating some cottage cheese.
Well, no. That's all for you. You need that. That builds strong bones. Take off your sports hat. We're going to take a break, and then we're into the final stretch of our show. So quick. It just flew right by here on WGN.
Listen, people. Bad luck and trouble. Story of my life. Bad luck and trouble. The story of my life. I can't catch a break from all this struggling and strife. If luck was money.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That man's going to be joining us next week. We have a late start next week, probably midnight-ish, and that is Tommy Castro, and he will be joining us. That's, by the way, that song, that was a live recording. He did that in Daryl Hall's studio.
Oh.
That was Tommy Castro and the Painkillers, and... Can't catch a break, so Tommy will be joining us next week. And again, we'll be starting midnight-ish.
Right. On March 5th, he will be at Evanston's Space. Tickets are available now. In fact, there are limited tickets available. The day before, March 4th, he will be in Bloomington, Illinois at the Castle Theater. At 7:30 in the evening, and he's going to be in Burlington, Iowa in March, in Newport, Kentucky, in St. Louis, Missouri, in Ohio, in Minnesota, and Pittsburgh, PA. So he's getting out all over the place. He's got a great story, too.
And he's got a new album, a new Alligator Records album called Closer to the Bone. So we're looking forward to having him on the show with us next week. Again, we start midnight-ish next week.
Right.
By the way, get your dial-in figures ready, boys and girls. 312-981-7200. In a couple minutes, we will pitch for our last call. And if you are our last caller, you win some goodies from the prize list. So 312-981-7200 if you would like to be our last caller. And there's so much stuff we still have to get to. Oh, we've heard from a number of people who were interested in accessing our blog and subscribing or following our blog, but they weren't sure how to do it.
Right, and they were either never on Facebook or they've decided to leave Facebook and they want to know how they can stay in touch. And in fact, an 847 area code said, tonight I'm not on Facebook, so I'll try your blog. I listened for how to get to it and then followed it with another text about 5 minutes later saying, found the blog. I'll watch for your show notes. And then I wrote and said, well, actually, you need to sign up on the blog so that you will be notified.
And by the way, when you subscribe to our blog, it's absolutely free.
Mm-hmm. And we don't spam you. As I said to our listener who I was texting with this morning, I said, you will get an email telling you that we have put up a new blog post. We're not going to share your email with anyone else. And you're not going to get any spam from us. You're just going to get that email that says, oh, it's been a while. Mm-hmm. Check us out. We've got a blog post. We've got a recipe. We've got some pictures and something that you probably would find interesting. So just go check it out.
And a lot of things that we're you won't find on Facebook. And as we said last week, we're kind of weaning ourselves away from Facebook because Mark Zuckerberg is just starting to play a lot of games. And
Facebook is changing all the time. It's like every other day I go, wait, why is it doing that? And why is it telling me that I can't say a particular word? I'm not swearing.
And just yesterday, I was trying to post a picture. And I clicked on what looked like the picture. And this AI thing came up saying, oh, hey, you want to get it? No, I have a picture in my gallery I want to put there. Let me do that.
Oh, that's why you were muttering. I heard you as you were doing something. Those are exactly the words and the sounds that you're making.
So we are on Blue Sky, and you can just do a Blue Sky search for Steve and Johnny, and you'll find us over there and our blog. Those are the two places we're going to be spending most of our time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would like to hang out with us there, again, you can go to Facebook right now, and you will find the post Johnny just put up. If you're not sure how to access our blog, a little show and tell and a link to our blog.
You know, our pictures that I take on our way into the radio station are really popular. People from all over the country enjoy seeing Chicago at night. And I enjoy taking the pictures. And I'm always looking for something new. And yes, some of the pictures are repetitive. You're always going to get the Drake. As long as we're on Lakeshore Drive, I'm taking a picture of the Drake.
Yep.
You're going to get pictures of the lights on top of various buildings downtown, the Ferris wheel over at Navy Pier, all of those things. I think what I'm also going to do is start posting them over on the blog for people like our 847 area code that says, I don't do Facebook. And so now I'm new to the blog, and this is great. I can stay in touch with you.
So we will do that. And over the weekend, we'll get Patrick's show notes for tonight's show up on the blog.
Yes.
And you are remiss, Missy. Oh. Recipe, 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 recipe.
You remind me when I'm on the radio, so you can embarrass me because I've forgotten it
once
again.
Would I do that?
Yes, you would. And I, who am going to decide what we're having for dinner when we get home. So you better be good to me.
We're so hungry.
You better be good. Julian, did you eat anything? Did you have anything with you? Anything better than cottage cheese?
Yeah, I had a few things. I had some of those Kind bars. I had little mini Kind bars.
Oh.
I had a little Greek yogurt thing. I forgot what brand it was.
Well, listen to you being all healthy.
I crunched up one of the bars.
Oh, good.
And
the yogurt?
I added it into the yogurt, like a little granola.
See, I want you to tell us all of this in your Scottish accent.
So I had me a cup of yogurt. No, I'm not going to do that. You're not going to understand me.
That's the best part of it. Do you ever watch... I'm embarrassed to say this, but there are some times when I'm watching a movie and when the Brits are talking or some of the PBS British television shows, I need closed captioning.
Yeah, we need to do closed captioning.
It's terrible. I'm like, they're speaking English and I don't know what they're saying.
They're saying it so fast.
Yes, but it's very melodic, which takes me back to the story that I touched on just before the midnight news when we were over in London. You were thrown off a bus and you were in the hospital.
Right.
And you were speaking in this bizarre Monty Python old English
ladies. Because I had been given some serious drugs.
And I was holding a pillow ready to smother you with it because we were going to be run out of the country, but because you just kept asking for your tea in this shrill English accent.
Well, I wanted some tea. Just
a Julia Child?
It was a Julia Child thing. But Julian, the woman in the bed next to him was in her late 80s, and that's how she talked. So every time
she talked exactly like that.
I go, oh my God, he's making fun of her. He's the ugly American. They have that on his chart, ugly American.
Hey, it was their drugs.
He was an ugly American.
Oh, my gosh. So what I was going with this was...
Now you've got that song going through the jukebox in my head. Young Americans, David Bowie.
I know.
Great song.
But I had this brilliant thing I was going to tell on you, and now I've forgotten.
You can't tell on me. You can't tell on me.
It was so there we were. And help me, Julian. Come on. You're always helping him out with these dreadful songs.
What are you trying to do? I got no clue. I've got blisters on these fingers. Thank you. I'm here all week.
That sounds a little bit like one of the Beatles.
Yes.
Oh, look at him. Give him a cookie. He's smart, that one.
Oh, that's very nice.
I grew up on the British Broadcast Channel.
And yeah.
I grew up on like Fawlty Towers, Monty Python.
Good. So you don't need
I'm assuming you've
depth.
Seen A Hard Day's Night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But to me, that is one of the best movies ever. I will never forget the first time I saw that because, and I'm a fan of rock and roll movies. I mean, I like Don't Knock the Rock. I like the early Elvis movies. But Hard Day's Night took rock and roll movies to a whole nother level.
I think when I saw it, I was too young to appreciate that. To me, it was like, it was so weird that my recollection, it was a little scary. Because I was like, wait, movies aren't supposed to be like this.
But that really was the interesting, because you were such a Monkees fan, and Hard Day's Night really was the template for the Monkees TV show.
And the Monkees came along, and they did it right on their television show.
Okay, fine.
Is lightning going to strike me in here?
I don't know, but I'm seeing blue lights, and I'm hearing a noise. What's that noise I'm hearing?
Not the cops, right? It's the Zamboni. Is that it?
Yes.
He's getting ready to clean the halls and get the place all spruced up for tomorrow.
So that means if you would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200. That number again is
312-981-7200. And help me remember what is so important. I don't want to leave you guys hanging for a whole week. Something I was going to tell on Steve. Trip to England. So I made fun of you in your British accent. And oh, golly. It might be our closing thought tonight, because it's going to come back to me. It is.
It'll come back to bite you. 312-981-7200 if you would like to try to be our last caller. And if you haven't won anything from this here radio place in the last 2 months or 60 days, whichever comes first, you would win some goodies if you are our last caller. And you don't really have to have anything pithy to say. Unless you know what Johnny was going to say.
Notice I'm looking at you. I'm concentrating.
Yes, you're trying to.
I'm trying to pull it out of the thin air because it was so important.
312-981-7200. Last call is coming up.
It's that time again. We gotta say good night.
Yeah.
You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home. Yep.
Yep.
Losing time.
Burger. No, burger time.
Right on out.
Burger time? Okay,
let's go. You don't have to go home.
Yeah.
They really kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
Nope. Can't stay here. And no, we're not going to play the rest of that song. If you want to hear it, it's Red Peters. It's called The Closing Song. You can find it on YouTube. And if you ever hear us play it, you know that's going to be our last broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere.
Yes.
Ever.
That's going to be our swan song, right?
Yes.
We're out of here. You'll know. We won't have to tell you. Lister says, where's the Zamboni? Well, he was at the other end of the hall. He hadn't made his way down here yet. So, Bob.
Because he has to do the whole place.
That's right. Keeper of the Big Plug. This is a big joint, too. A lot of people don't realize
that. And he has to drive the Zamboni all the way up all the 18th floors.
No, stop. Now you're just being silly.
Me? Silly?
I love that look in your face. Like, really? Now you say that?
Surely you just.
Don't call me. I am going to cheat.
You are?
Yes. Julian, can I take line two? Is that okay? Is that cool?
You do whatever you want.
Well, no. Now, don't patronize me.
Because I think line two is from Tennessee, right?
I think that's what I saw. I recognize the area code. I'm thinking this may be a relative of mine calling in, so I want to be good to them just in case. Oh, we're going to go to line one. Let's go to line one. Okay. I may have dreamt that. Again, forgive me. This last few minutes, I've just been preoccupied trying to remember
you
that.
You need food.
I do. And I've got crackers. That was stupid to bring crackers.
But they're good crackers.
Yeah, I know, but they're dry. You need peanut butter or cheese or something on them.
Well, peanut butter on anything is a wonderful thing.
Let's go to Northwest Indiana. How's that?
And that would be Judy. Hey, Judy, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Northwest Indiana.
All right. Nice.
And whereabouts in Northwest Indiana?
Valparaiso.
Valpo.
Oh, okay.
Of course. Yeah. Know it well. Right. Yeah.
A transplant.
Okay. Oh, is that where you went to retire?
No. But I grew up in the Gary area.
Oh.
I came out here about 20 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Valparaiso used to have, now, boy, I'm really dating myself, but in the late 60s, I worked at WLTH in Gary, and there used to be a wonderful pizza place in Valparaiso that we used to go to. Oh,
all the way from Gary?
Yeah, and it was on kind of one of the main drags, and I don't remember exactly where it was, but oh well.
See, it's food. Once again, your memory goes to food. Have you had a snack tonight, Judy?
Yes, I have.
Can you give us details, please?
I had.
If it's boring,
I had crackers with a veggie spread on them.
Oh, that's kind of okay. Was it like a cream cheese veggie spread?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Okay, now we're talking. I'm like, it's going to be sad by the time we get to the car because I can see you scratching around in the glove box looking for an old granola bar or something in there. And we only have a very short drive home. And the whole way home, I'm telling you, we're going to be debating, do we want? Because we've got healthy vegetable soup, but I'm not in the mood for healthy. Nope, not in the mood.
I'm thinking burgers.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound good?
Oh, yeah.
A burger?
Yeah.
Gosh.
A smash burger.
That's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what's on your agenda for Sunday, the 2nd of February, Groundhog's Day?
Well, I just moved into a new apartment the beginning of January, and I'm still pulling it together.
I hear you. We lived in the same place for 40 years, and we're still pulling it together. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. And well, we were laughing earlier about this fact. Steve says, you know, he's got all these brochures from the auto show, and I'm like, yep.
Yeah, well, I do.
Still don't have a place to put them either.
No, but I have them. And they're organized alphabetically according to size.
Think on that one. Yeah. Have you been with us all evening? Do you join us on Saturday nights?
This is the first Saturday night in a while.
Really? Because you were moving. You had other things on your mind.
I had others. Plus, I didn't really have a working radio until recently.
Oh, dear.
And I don't have a television right now, so I've been listening to WGN faithfully for the last month.
Well, good.
Although, I grew up with Wally Phillips, so I mean, WG has always been in my life.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that dates me.
Well, you know what? We were all kids, because I tell the story about we had a clock radio next to my mom and dad's bed, and one time Wally gave the phone number, because he never gave the phone number, and one time he did, and she fell out of bed, and she grabbed a pen, and she wrote it on top of that Bakelite plastic clock radio, and until recently, I still had that clock radio where she had scribbled the phone number on it, because she was going to get her one of those Seymour Paisen scarves or a ladybug watch.
Ladybug pendant watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you would think when I got to work here, she would have been excited, but she's like, I don't know. You don't have gifts. You don't have things.
Well, the wildest thing I ever got was from, I can't remember which person it was, but was two cases of Green River.
Oh, yes.
One regular and one diet.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that wacky? That was right around St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were giving it away.
Yeah.
Didn't you get a coupon for it? We didn't mail you out.
Right. Right. It was a coupon.
Because I'm thinking,
over the years, I did get some really neat, you know, restaurant
yes.
certificates. And, yeah.
Well, Steve
one
used to.
One time was to the racetrack up in Lake Geneva.
Oh. Well, there was a time when Bob Collins would surprise management and give everything on the prize list away.
Oh, cool.
Oh, and I mean, it was like two pages.
Back in the day, because Bob Collins didn't want to have to read that, so he asked me if I would record it, and he wanted me to do a Wolfman Jack imitation.
Yes.
And I did this in reciting all of the prizes.
Because it was two pages long.
It was.
And so you had to recognize the sponsors by, you know, giving them the shout out. And then, of course, the fun thing would be walking out of the studio at the end of the show and encountering management standing there going, really? Did you have to do that? But you know what? He kind of lived for those moments when he could get under their skin.
I'm curious.
It was a sad day when he passed from us.
And you know what's crazy? Judy, are you ready for this? Next Saturday is the 25th anniversary.
Oh, my goodness.
25.
And with the events of this past week, there were so many times when we thought about it.
Every time I heard the word mid-air, it was like a trigger.
Yeah.
I was just like, this has been 25 years. I did not expect it to just come, you know, back.
And I will never forget that night, because that night, it was around, I want to say around 7 o'clock in the evening, all of us came down to the radio station.
The entire station.
Because we needed to be with our radio family. I mean, this is, I know this sounds corny.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very special place.
Yeah.
And there were people from Tribune management. At that time, the Tribune owned WGN.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't realize the bond that this radio station had until they saw everybody come down, just because we needed to be with our family.
Yeah. 25 years, though. Golly.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we were talking earlier about the fact, you know, this is the anniversary of the big Snowmageddon 14 years ago, when newsman Roger Badish was stranded on Lakeshore Drive, and we did play-by-play with him all night long, and it was the only second time in my career on the radio that I cried on the air was when he got rescued. Because all night long, he was saying, my toes are frozen. I think my toes are going to fall off. And then when finally they rescued him, I went, oh, my God. So, well, now we have just rehashed our whole career on the radio, Judy. Look at that.
But so your work here is done, Judy.
That's right. And you have a wonderful laugh, and thank you for leaving us laughing tonight.
Well.
But hold on, and we will get some information from you off the air.
So nice talking to you.
And you will get?
You will get. In fact, I will be tickled to see you in your very own official WGN Radio T-shirt. And we're going to send you one of our Steve and Johnny Life After Dark CDs.
Yeah.
Because they have become highly collectible now. Actual performances from in studio with us. So thank you, Judy. And thank you to all our listeners.
Yeah, thank you guys for hanging out with us. And again, we remind you, next week we start late. We will start somewhere between 11:30 and midnight-ish.
So be here.
But our guest will be Tommy Castro. And who knows what else will happen.
So
be there or be square.
So thanks to Julian and to Bob, Keeper of the Big Plug, and Gabe and Ron and all the ships at sea. We really appreciate you guys tuning in.
And stay safe. Thank you guys for hanging out with us.